Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. A lot earlier than usual. We will explain momentarily. I'm glad you're with us. We are in a fog-covered Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. It is eerie outside, but very cool. Glad you're here. The phone number remains the same, 312-981-7200. When you call in, you will be talking to Cody. Oh, my gosh, we're on so early. I can't believe it. Goff, he's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you call and you get to him, be nice to him. Then you get to me. That's how it works. On social media, it's Brian Noonan Show at Facebook or on Facebook and Twitter, so you can follow us there as well. Welcome. If you are used to listening to the beat at this time of the day, well, that is not going to be happening anymore. There has been a change in the Sunday schedule. So if you are not aware, this is what's happening. If you don't know, I used to be on from 6 to 9 with Cody. Cody was my producer. It has been for years and years. Either nobody else wants to work with me, or I'm just a creature of habit, or we're very codependent. Whatever your choice, Cody and I are both we're on from 6 to 9. Well, now we are on from 3 to 7, which is very exciting. Earlier start time, a longer show, more time to spend with you, so it is good to go. Now, you might be saying, well, hey, you used to have Karen Conti on with you in the final hour of the program. Is that going to be happening? No, because Karen now has her own show, which will be coming on at 7 o'clock. So we go to 7, then Karen goes from 7 to 9, and then Rick Kogan comes your way at 9 o'clock. So that remains the same. Not much is going to change. There'll be a little, some, you know, minor tweaks here and there, some tones. If you're used to listening to the program, then you know what to expect. If you're new to the program, welcome. We're glad you're here. We talk about all kinds of things, and we try to have a good time doing it because it's Sunday afternoon. Your weekend is starting to wind down. You're looking ahead to a new work week, and we want you to just relax. Well, I will say this, though. We will be keeping an eye on everything that's happening in Washington. David Jennings is in the newsroom. He walked away. I'll say hi to David in a few minutes. But David is keeping his eye on what's happening in Washington. If anything changes, he will jump in. We've got our eye over there. We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. The government shutdown. No changes. The Congress is working. They're there. The Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans are trying to hammer things out. So far, no change. There's some talk of hopefully a vote by 1 o'clock tomorrow morning so that they can hopefully end this shutdown before all the government workers are supposed to report for work on Monday morning. So, again, we will keep you posted on all of that. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Women's March. I want to hear from you. If you marched yesterday, what was your experience? Do you... you know, it's a bigger turnout, supposedly, than last year. I was very proud of everybody who marched yesterday, so I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll talk all about that. And then Chicago Restaurant Week is coming up starting next week, so very exciting. If you've always wanted to try some different restaurants and you thought, well, maybe they're too expensive, I don't know, where should I go? We'll talk to Jordan Engerman, who is the Director of Partnerships for Chicago Restaurant Week. He'll tell you everything you need to know so you can chart your culinary journey. We'll get into how did I forget this, Cody the G? We have some tickets to give away. And I'm not trying to bribe you because it's our first extended Sunday show. No, no, no. It's because you know my love for the theater. And you know that I've begun to be to treat myself as a common man reviewer of the theater. So in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to give you a chance to win to go see Potted Potter. I have a pair of tickets to Potted Potter. It's a hit Harry Potter parody featuring all 7 Harry Potter books in 7 hilarious minutes. It's now playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. We'll be giving those away in the 4 o'clock hour. I talked to the creators of Potted Potter during the holidays, and they are phenomenally funny guys. So this is a play that you definitely want to go check out. So if you can go for free on me, well then, isn't that all the better? So we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to answer the question, who is elderly, how often you need to wash your sheets, and a new app that we have gone way too far now. This is about consent. So we will get into that as well. But it's good to be here early. You know, what will we be doing? Well, we'll be doing the things we always do. Cody, very busy on the phones already, which is exciting. Again, if you're just joining us and looking for the beat, that show will still remain on Saturdays. However, it is not on Sunday anymore. But those guys are going to be going, I believe they're going on the stream, from 1 to 2 every day. Yes, 1 to 2 every Monday through Friday as Sports Central. That's those plans coming. You'll be getting some more information on that later. And you're also wondering, hey, where's Roger? Roger will still be doing his regular shift starting at 6, so we'll be able to say hello to Roger starting then. It has been quite the week. I'm still hobbling around. In case you're new to the program, I was regaling everyone last week about this foot surgery that I had. I had to have an operation on my toe. And the big concern last Sunday was how I was going to navigate my way through the snow because I didn't have, I can't wear a shoe. So I've got a very, very fashion-forward piece of footwear going. I'm wearing a Teva sandal over a sock. But that won't keep my foot dry in the snow or the rain. And so last week I was trying to decide what I should do because the grocery bags weren't working. And thank you again to everybody who told me how wonderful Menards bags were. The heaviest bag of all the bags, it turns out. But I did end up going on Amazon when I got home last Sunday after the show. I panicked, so I went on Amazon, and I decided I was going to try to find some galoshes. Remember those? The big old black rubber boots that you used to wear when you were a kid, and most of them had the steel buckles on the front, and they always would spring a leak at some point. They're not warm, but at least they're waterproof. So I went on, and who would have known that there were so many choices for galoshes on the internet? I thought this was a technology that had long since passed, and yet I was wrong because there were hundreds, literally hundreds of choices of galoshes. The problem being, I wear a size 15 shoe. So that immediately cut the choice of galoshes to one. I found one pair of galoshes, like a construction galosh. That's what we'll call it, a construction galosh, with a welted bottom, very nice. Those were the only ones that would fit over my size 15. And I'll tell you, I know, Cody, you're a big proponent of Amazon Prime. My wife has a Prime membership. I ordered these galoshes at 11:15 on Sunday night. They arrived on my door at 1 p.m. Monday afternoon, just in time for the huge snowfall. I love technology in America. Because, 13 hours later, I have my galoshes. And I was able to go outside and stomp around after I had made my wife go out and shovel early. Because I was like, honey, you know I would shovel. But I can't get my foot wet. She's like, I know, you just don't like me to shovel. And then, because I don't like her to shovel. I'm very anal, retentive when it comes to my shoveling. I like my lines crisp. I like to go right up to the edge of the grass. I like everything done, scraped right down to the concrete. And my wife's a little more laissez-faire when it comes to her shoveling. Sometimes she goes all the way to the end. Sometimes not too much. Sometimes it goes all the way to the concrete. Sometimes she just shears along the top. And I think, you know why she does it? And she's a genius, an evil genius. She does it so that she doesn't have to shovel anymore. Because she knows I just go, oh, I'll go out and fix it. Well, I couldn't go out and fix it until later. So she had, she shoveled, and it takes her much longer to shovel than it takes me. Okay, because she doesn't want to do it, which I don't blame her, and normally I do. So she, as happy as I was to get the galoshes, she was ecstatic that they came that early.
You're also like a foot and a half taller than she is.
I am.
So, you know.
How does that, you're saying my leverage, I have better leverage on the snow?
You might have a little bit of extra leverage. You got the reach.
We weren't shoveling out of a blizzard. It was,
I'm just saying your speed may be attributed to.
Also, I don't like to do anything slow. I'm like Ike and Tina Turner. I like to do it fast.
Wow.
Hard and fast. I shovel that way. I eat that way. I drive that way. I do everything that way. Wink, wink. Yeah.
I know.
FCC's not listening because the government shut down. So prepare for profanity and a lot of really explicit language over the next 3.5 hours. Wait, did you hear that? All these people in cars with their kids just turned off the radio. I'm kidding. All right, let's talk a little bit about the government shutdown. A lot of questions about what will be affected if the shutdown continues into tomorrow and beyond. We'll get to all of that. Again, the number 312-981-7200. You are always welcome to jump in, but let's do this on WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. I'm going to repeat this in case you are wondering. The beat is no longer on Sundays. We're here from 3 to 7, Karen Conti from 7 to 9, and then Rick Hogan. So that's the change in the middle of your Sunday afternoon. We're glad to be here. Happy you're with us. There we go. That's how it is. We're happy. A lot of people not. If you're a government worker, you are probably not happy because you are. There's a good chance you'll be on unpaid furlough starting tomorrow. There's a chance you will not. As I said, we are keeping an eye on all the happenings in Washington. David Jennings will have all the updates during his news at the top and bottom of the hour. And if something breaks, we will jump in. Right now, Congress is working. They're saying they want to have a vote by 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, so that will be that. But there's a lot of questions regarding the government shutdown. And for those of us who are not employed by the federal government, you know, we don't know. There's been a lot of information. There's been some disinformation. There's been some confusion about what's going on. Confusion about what's happening. If you want to jump in and just how is it going to affect you in the long term or the short term, that's fine. If you just want to blame, we've got enough blame coming out of Washington, D.C. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats. Democrats are blaming the Republicans. Some people are blaming the president. The president is blaming the Democrats. A lot going on and a lot of people boiling things down to very simple talking points where we know it's a much more complicated thing than two or three sentences that you hear repeated over and over and over. So the main stumbling blocks we know are immigration. The Democrats want something funded. The Republicans are saying, well, you know, maybe we do a short-term funding that will keep the government running till February 8th with an implicit agreement that we will then be discussing a clean immigration bill because, as you know, DACA is set to end in March. So theoretically, there's some time. But the Democrats are using this as leverage, as are the Republicans, both sides going back and forth. Some of the things that you may be wondering about, there's people who may not even know what this means. We hear the term government shutdown. Well, tomorrow when most of us wake up, we're going to still go to work. We're going to go about our business. The mail is still going to come. The banks will still be open. You'll still go to work and school. So, What does it mean exactly? Well, it basically means that anything that is funded by the budget that the Congress is supposed to pass and the president is supposed to sign, anything that's funded by that, well, that's going to be affected. You know, people who work for the federal government can't get a paycheck. Legally, many of those workers are still obligated to show up for work. Some are not. Those are the people who will be on unpaid furlough. Most federal departments and agencies will at least partially shut down, but airports, prisons, local parks, schools, and libraries, as I said, those will be open. Some agencies will have some employees working at them. Those are exempt from shutdown because they do not get funding through the congressional appropriations process. People keep asking about the military, too. That is the big, one of the big questions about this, because we hear that being used as leverage, that we're hurting the military by not getting this done. And long term, of course, everybody's going to be hurt in the long term. But the Defense Department issued a guidance on Friday saying that in the event of a shutdown, quote, military personnel on active duty, including reserve component personnel on federal active duty, will continue to report for duty and carry out their assigned duties, end quote. Washington Post fact-checked this and wanted to find out the situation regarding pay. There will be no gap in military pay unless the shutdown lasted past February 1st. So right now, even if the shutdown went to tomorrow, this week, the military are still being paid, active military and reserves still on duty, so we don't have to worry about that. The other big question seems to be about Social Security, which if you depend on your Social Security and your benefits for Medicaid and all that, of course, that's a big thing. We've been talking about that a lot this week. Social Security, supplemental security income, unemployment insurance, and temporary assistance for needy families, food stamps, and other programs will continue to be paid. Those benefits will be received. The program spending is not dependent on Congress's funding. So if you depend on that money, you'll still get your money. So there you go. 312-981-7200. Some people want to jump in on this. Matt's in Chicago. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Brian, and I love this new time.
Well, thank you.
I'm telling you right now, I really do like it.
I appreciate it.
That being said, I am going to blame someone, but it's not what you think. So give me a chance.
Oh, no, go ahead. You can listen, I don't mind you. I don't mind you blaming people. I just don't want to get into the same tired, you know. We can yell whose fault it is from now until this thing is over. But who do you want to blame, Matt?
Both sides.
Good. That's now, a good one.
I am a Democrat. I will always be a Democrat. I did not vote for this man. I did not vote for the Republicans in Congress. However, nobody wins, guys. Mm-hmm. Nobody wins right now. Not a single side wins. Nobody gets what they want. And our illustrious president wants to be in Mar-a-Lago because he had a state that he had a dinner that he set up for $100,000 a plate. Sorry, I'm getting off track. But the point is, it's kind of hard, you know. The point is, nobody wins, guys.
No, that's true. And it's, you know, it's going to come down to one or two things. And we know that the Democrats are using DACA for leverage. Again, this is only a couple weeks funding package. If this goes through, the one that'll fund everything till the 8th, we've got to figure out a way for everybody there to cooperate and at least sit down and figure out what's going on. That's their job. They're still getting paid. See, president gets paid and Congress gets paid. So they're not going to feel the immediate burn. But Matt, I appreciate the call and I appreciate the, you know, That's a good point. Everybody's to blame. All right, we got to do this. Then it's going to be news time on WGN. Somebody texted in and said, hey, you know, furloughed federal employees do get paid. They just get paid down the end. Yes, but the term is unpaid furlough. They do get paid, but they get paid after the shutdown is finished. Yesterday was the big Women's March around the globe. A lot, hundreds of thousands of women and men here in Chicago. If you marched, I want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. I want to know why you marched, and I want to know what you hope these marches will accomplish. Because as you know, last year there was the first Women's March right after the inauguration of President Trump. And that march was mostly anti-Trump. Now, yesterday, a lot of anti-Trump messages during the march, but also it was labeled as the March to the Polls, because we're the purpose, the organizers say, is to get more women involved in the political process on local level, state, national. They want women involved in the process, which doesn't sound like a bad deal to me. I think this is wonderful. Very proud of all the people who marched. I was not able to march with my wife. She was a marshal again, which meant she got to wear the reflective vest. Very exciting. Oh, she had the Women's March sweatshirt on, and she got the Women's March knit hat. Not the pink hat with the ears. Not the pussycat hat, but she just had that. So she was all excited. And then so she came down and she marched, which I support 1,000%. Then I get a picture from my daughter. She was at the march in New Orleans, which was much as nice as it was here weather-wise, because 40 degrees in January, not bad for a march. If you're going to have a march, might as well have nice weather for it, and we did yesterday. Got the picture from my daughter. She was marching in New Orleans. It was like 65 degrees. So she's in a T-shirt marching around. Makes it a little easier to march. And, Cody, you said your mom came from Rockford, Illinois?
Yeah, she came in.
The world's most dangerous city?
Yeah.
To come?
Yes.
The world. We've elevated it.
Yeah, yeah. She went downtown, marched by herself and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't get your sister to march with her?
Everybody else had stuff going on.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's impressive to see the footage from everywhere. From here and, you know, D.C. and L.A. I got pictures of friends of mine who were marching in L.A. And it just seems, it's a wonderful thing. I'm hoping the message gets through to people. It didn't really get through, I don't think, to the president, who tweeted that they were marching to celebrate all the accomplishments of the last year. That seemed a little misdirected. And I know there were people who were out protesting the march. Why are you wasting your time? What are you protesting if you're protesting the women's march? You're protesting the fact that women deserve the same rights as everybody else? Are you protesting the fact that people want to be paid the same? Where do you get the ground to say, yes, I am against the women's march? And again, that's me talking like a protest. Because right now I know somebody heard that last sentence and went, I can't believe he's against the Women's March. I am not. I'm just saying there were protesters out there. They're protesting against equal rights for the LGBTQ community. They're protest. You know, this is what the march is about. Getting everybody on equal footing. So if you're protesting that, What's going on in your head? What are you thinking? I almost swore because the FCC is not listening because there's a government shutdown. So we can pretty much do whatever we want. I could kill somebody on the air right now.
All right, don't look at me.
Well, listen, you're the only one close. Everybody else is, you know.
I've seen that look before.
Right.
Yeah.
So last year, supposedly, there were about 250,000 people marching here in Chicago. Yesterday, the estimates were 300,000. Now, again, so my wife was right in the middle of it. She was at Jackson and Congress. She was right near where the speakers were. That was her marshaling post this year, where she was in charge of yelling at people to keep them on the sidewalk and things like that. And I suggested next year, if she's marching, she needs to get a bullhorn because she came home and she could barely talk because she'd been yelling at hundreds of thousands of people all day. And she's used to only having to yell at one person. And not in, you know, such a wide open environment where she can't, where her voice would go. So she said she was there, and then she posted on something on Facebook, and a woman got on and said, that looks more like 150,000 to me. Really? You don't see, you know, you see some pictures of intersections. As my wife pointed out, you don't see in some of these pictures the marchers going up and down Michigan Avenue in every, you know, and on the cross streets in every direction. And then I felt bad because they were showing on the news last night and today some of the footage from the VIP area for like people who were in wheelchairs or some of the speakers, the VIP, and the chairs were empty. And I'm like, don't show that picture. That makes it look like nobody showed up. Show the aerial shots where you can see the throngs of humanity that are coming out to support this movement. I don't know. Would you march? Would you ever march?
I might. What do you think about the fact that 250 to 300,000-ish people showed up to this, but when the Cubs or the Hawks win a championship, you get a million?
Well, here you go, because it's sports.
This is the cynic, cynic in me.
It's sports, and you know we live in a patriarchy, Cody.
Yeah.
So the guys are going to come out, and I know there were men there. I know there were men there. I know there were young boys there, which is great. I know families were there together. So I'm not saying that there were no men at this march. But let's be honest. If the Hawks win another Stanley Cup, well, the Hawks were different. Because when I was down for the Hawks rallies, it's pretty split 50-50. But more guys are going to come out for a sports parade than the women's march. Even though it's a march for everybody, but it's by women, for women, which is fine. But men support women. Most men that I know, or a lot of men that I know, want to be with a woman. Or they have a mom, they have a sister, a daughter.
Everybody's got a mom.
Well, does everybody have a mom?
I think pretty much everybody
has a mom.
Test
tube babies, they have moms?
Everybody came from a part of a mom.
All right, so everybody has a mom. So even if that's the case, then you should want to support women.
Yeah.
Because you have a mom. And your mom probably had to battle through all kinds of stuff, getting paid less, getting her bottom tweaked at work, you know, horrible comments. It's just, you know, you have to be aware of what's happening now. And there's a lot going on, and it's good, but, man, I was shocked by the critics. I guess Lisa Madigan gave a wonderful speech yesterday. That was the report back from my wife. She said all the speakers were very good. But it got to a point, because I guess Lisa Madigan was supposed to be the final speaker, and then the march was supposed to happen. So Lisa gave her speech. After all these wonderful speeches, the cast of Hamilton was there, the cast of She the People at Second City, a lot of dignitaries were there.
I heard they were hilarious.
Oh, were they?
Second City.
The She the People?
Yeah, my mom said they killed.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get them on this program, Cody.
All right. We'll call them up.
Sure, they can come in.
That's what I do.
They can do a little skit, can't they? Sketch?
I'm fine with that. You want a sketch on the show?
Sure, they can come in and do a sketch.
We'll sketch it up.
Right. We got people behind me?
There's people waving at me. I'm a popular guy. I'm a popular fixture on this program, so when people wave, I like to wave back. I got to please the fans.
Well, the point was, so they're all there. They were hilarious. The speeches were great. But then they added four speakers after Lisa Madigan, so the crowd was beginning to turn surly. And they started to chant, let us march, let us march, let us march. So all of a sudden, these last four speakers, there was a little tumult in the crowd. A little rabble, rabble, rabble. So then they started to march, and they marched over to Federal Plaza, and that was that. And it went smoothly, no reports of any sort of problems. I know there was a lot of preparation. Being a marshal, my wife had to go to these meetings, you know, training meetings and informational meetings, and they were talking about the potential for any sort of trouble. Because there's always rumors that there's going to be people brought into these things who are just there to rile people up. And they told them at the meeting, as long as the police don't bring out the horses, we'll be okay. And they told people, if the police have to come out on horseback to wade into the crowd, just sit down. Because according to the organizers, the police horses will not step on you if you're sitting down. They'll walk around you. However, if you're standing up, the horses will just knock you out of the way. I've never had to stand face to face against a horse. But that was the word on the street that they had to do that. So a little after noon, they started the march. As I said, they went over to Federal Plaza, which was wonderful. So congratulations again to all of you who were marching, and let's hope the message gets out. It's starting. The movement that started last year is still going strong. I'm glad to see, because the big question was the momentum that started last year going to carry over? And it has. So that's terrific. Let's keep it up, you know? And let's support our sisters and our brothers who support our sisters. Right on. Don't forget, in the 4 o'clock hour, I am going to give you a chance to go see Potted Potter. It's the hit Harry Potter parody featuring all 7 Harry Potter books in 7 minutes. That would be very fast. 70 hilarious minutes. It's now playing at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. You can get your tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. So sometime in the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to send you to see the big show. All right, let's do this. And then there's more. It's WGN. Our fine texters, you said, well, how come this the Women's March gets 300,000, but if the Cubs or somebody else wins a big championship, oh, we get millions of people down here for those parades? And good point from Sue. She says, well, those parades are during the week, so people are already downtown. Think about all the offices that are full, so people leave. So, yeah, I didn't even think of that. Very good, Sue. Kudos. That puts Cody right in his place.
That makes me feel a little less cynical, because
yes,
one could extrapolate from the low attendance that maybe people are so cynical.
I don't think it's low attendance. I think 300,000 is pretty good attendance.
I agree. But from
last year.
But the relative low attendance.
Sure, okay.
One could look at that and say, well, maybe people are just so cynical about being able to affect change that they're not even willing to go out.
Think about all these office buildings that are full to capacity.
No, you're right.
Monday through Friday.
For sure,
yeah,
for sure.
That's a great, that's a very good point.
Glad you made that point.
Listen, we like when people make points, because a lot of times we do not. So we make points, but
we made that one point that one time in it must have been 2011, 2012.
I remember that. I'd say we actually then submitted it to the broadcast museum.
Yeah,
they didn't accept.
Yeah,
they're like, what's that? I was like, what's the point? They're like, exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to give a shout out to your mom for going by herself to the Women's March.
Oh, cool.
That was very nice.
Me too.
Which is good. Yeah, that's I'm used to going places by myself. But that's very cool. A lot of people don't like to do it. But she was surrounded by 299,999 of her closest friends.
Yeah, I was at first, I'm like, I don't know if I want my mom walking around by herself doing this stuff. But she's from Rockford.
What's going to happen? Yeah, she probably had a shiv, right? Your mom was strapped. She wasn't wading in here unarmed. She was ready to go. Mom wasn't playing. Mrs. Goff comes down. She don't play.
No.
She's like that Proud Mary movie with Taraji B. Henson.
Yeah.
She's all coming in with firearms and blades. I know you said you did this, and I've heard people talking about it all week, and I see it on Facebook, these Google Art selfies.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Tide Pods I ate.
No, you didn't eat Tide Pods. You want to go get one of those donuts, though. Don't make me go on another Tide Pod rant.
Right.
Because that is, but I will say, kudos to Hertz Donuts in Wichita, Kansas, and Springfield, Missouri, for creating the Tide Pod Donut. And congratulations to all the people with no sense of humor who were very upset with Hertz Donuts for creating the Tide Pod Donut. It's too soon. That's not funny. It is insensitive. Shut up.
Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon. Can't have the kids eating. So this donut shop, which is in Wichita, Kansas, and Springfield, Missouri, two towns I've been to, they're fine. I'll go there now to get a donut. But you can get a Tide Pod Donut. It looks delicious. It looks like a raised, glazed donut, but then it's got the white, orange, and blue frosting all swirled on the top, so it does look exactly like a Tide Pod donut. So some people, of course, loved it. Some people went in and got them right away. Other people who have no sense of humor, they were very upset. They pointed out their disdain for the concept. From one person on Facebook, I'm sad people think this is so funny. Oh, I'm sad you don't think it's funny. So what if there's a size difference? This is bad. A size difference. This is bad. Children are going to see these and associate them with Tide Pods. Yes, because they're called Tide Pod Donuts. Of course you're going to associate them with Tide Pods. And really, if your child doesn't know the difference between a donut and detergent, you have done a bad job parenting. If I sit a donut and a Tide Pod in front of a teenager, and they can't tell me which is edible and which is not, again, maybe we take them all to Teen Island. Put them on a boat, take them to Teen Island. So, good for them. Can we go
up? It's worse than that. Come on. When you have people companies have been forced to put labels on things like hair dryers, not to be used in water.
Oh, sure.
I mean, really? We really need...
Yes, we do, because there was somebody who was drying their hair in the bathtub and killed themselves. Yes, we have to idiot-proof the world. David, you know that. Come on, you've been in the news biz for how long? How many stories of imbeciles have you covered? At least 12 a day. There's too much stupidity running around out there. That's the issue. And so we have to try to warn everybody. And now... You know, okay, as I said before, when these things came out and they had different lids on them and people would leave their detergent like under the wash tub in their laundry room and babies would get into them, all right, you gotta put something on there, change the lid so that children can't open them. Just like they did with aspirin and everything else. Okay. That's why I have a hammer, because I still can't get those childproof caps off.
But if you know the one that's fun now is the ones that they're sealed in plastic.
Which ones are sealed in plastic?
Any products.
Yeah.
That come in the plastic things and they don't have a clear opening spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so now you got to go running around the house trying to find a pair of scissors.
And even the ones that have the little, yeah, even the ones that have the little crease, they, most of the time, they won't open.
Nope.
And it's like, I'm getting sicker trying to get this medicine out. You know, I needed my DayQuil and now I've got to, you know, I've got to hack at it. Like you said, with a steak knife or a paper clip or my car keys.
Gee, if I slice myself with a steak knife while I'm trying to open this impossible packaging your product is in, can I sue you for my injuries? I'm sorry. I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't get any ideas.
No, please don't. Somebody thought we were saying Tide Pods like Thai food. No, it's Tide.
No.
Tide Pods.
Yes.
Tide Pods. All right. So there you go. Can we make a row? Like I said, Springfield, Missouri is nice. That's where Mizzou is in Springfield. No, that's Columbia, Missouri. Never mind. But Springfield, Missouri is fine. Oh, you know what? I had to get a new engine in Springfield, Missouri once. Engine of my car blew out. I was doing stand-up down there.
I wasn't sure if this was the setup to a pun.
No.
Like a really elaborate one.
Nope, not an elaborate pun at all. I had to have my car blew an engine. I blew a rod in Springfield, Missouri.
That's
an automotive term.
That's automotive.
An automotive term.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right now, the FCC is closed. So it could be whatever you want. Is it an automotive term or something I did after a few cocktails? Who knows? But the point is... Springfield is fine and Wichita is fine. Go to a Hertz Donuts. So I was talking about this Google image thing where you take a selfie of yourself and then it compares you to a famous work of art, which, okay, I got nothing, no problem with that. If that's how you want to waste your time, that's fine. I'm shocked that people are so upset in Texas and Illinois that they cannot do this because of our biometrics laws, which in case you were not up on your biometric law, Cody, Illinois' Biometric Information Privacy Act mandates that companies collecting information like this obtain prior consent from consumers detailing how they'll use it and how long it will be kept. It also allows private citizens to sue. Other states have laws that only let the attorney general bring a lawsuit. So Illinois and Texas, you can't do this because we're against the law. But some people are trying to be, a little dishonest. So they're taking their phones across state lines. If you have to Smokey and the Bandit to do a little Google thing, man, I got some things you could do around my house if you want. So yours is hooked into some, You like bounce off foreign servers like somebody in 24, right? You're into espionage and ISIS.
I use private internet access. It's a VPN service that stands for Virtual Private Network.
Oh.
So basically, when I'm on my phone, it looks like I'm browsing from a different location.
This, I like that.
Yeah, I like to hide everything I do from the government. I also
How do you
use,
get one of those?
It's like $30 a year, $40 a year.
Really?
It's not that much. And you can install it on a few devices. So I've got it on my Chrome extensions, and I've got it on my computers at home.
So nobody can track where you are. You're surfing. You could send out harassing emails to the government and they wouldn't be able to find you.
It makes it more difficult. Yeah. I want to
stay undercover. That's why I want to stay off the grid.
I've got nothing to hide, but why not have
you
this
don't?
Service? Because you know how much people are collecting these days. I don't need that.
So I
just love to know when the day hit when other people got to make decisions about what information of ours they can collect and what they can do with it. It's almost like we got bypassed on that process altogether.
Oh, no, we've given it over when we hit agree without reading all the disclaimers.
Yeah,
all the terms of service. Agree.
If you don't agree, how do you get a cell phone?
Well, you don't.
How do you get cable service?
Off the grid. What do you need cable for? What are you just rotting your mind? Who are you talking to? All right, we got to do this. Then it's news time. It's WGN. Later this hour, I'm going to give you a chance to go see Potted Potter. It's the hit Harry Potter parody featuring all 7 Harry Potter books in 70 hilarious minutes. Now playing at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. I talked to the creators of that show, and it is a wonderful, wonderful show. So later this hour, before 5 o'clock, that's the big radio tease, isn't it, Cody? Oh, we're good at that, the big radio tease before 5 o'clock. Speaking of teases, if you are a foodie, if you have been dying to try certain restaurants and you thought, oh, I don't know, your time is coming up because January 26th through February 8th is Chicago Restaurant Week, the 11th annual event kicking off this week. Oh, very exciting. If you don't know what it is, I could tell you, but I don't know everything. You know who does? Jordan Ingerman is the director of partnerships for Chicago Restaurant Week, and he joins me now on WGN. Jordan, thanks for taking some time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So, okay, for the uninitiated, even though this is the 11th Chicago Restaurant Week, what exactly does that mean? What is Chicago Restaurant Week?
So Chicago Restaurant Week is this great culinary celebration that we've had for 11 years already. As you mentioned, it begins on January 26th through February 8th, and we have a record 370 restaurants participating in both the city and the suburbs.
Wow.
And really what it is an opportunity for everyone to enjoy pre-fixed meals for brunch, lunch, and dinner at all of these participating restaurants. They're all a fixed menu with brunch and lunch at $22 and dinner at $33 and or $44.
That's not bad when you consider you're getting, most places you're going to get an appetizer, you're going to get a main course, and you're going to get a dessert. So for $33 or $44, that's not bad.
No, it's excellent. And before I forget, anyone who wants to check out all of those 370 participating restaurants, look at their menus, make online reservations, all they need to do is go to eatitupchicago.com and peruse the whole list of participating restaurants.
Eatitupchicago.com. That's easy because, or else they could go to Choose Chicago, get all the information there. Eatitupchicago.com. Now, how do these restaurants, do they lobby to come in? Do you guys go around and look at them? How did the restaurants get involved?
So all of the restaurants are members of our organization, Choose Chicago, which for some of you who don't know, Choose Chicago is the official sales and marketing organization for the city of Chicago.
Okay.
And our primary goal is to bring domestic and international visitors here for the economic benefit of the city. So we have about 1,500 member organizations, and many of those are restaurants. And those restaurants have the opportunity to participate in Restaurant Week each year. So it's totally up to the restaurant members if they want to participate and opt in to be part of the promotion.
And what are the guidelines when they say, yeah, we're going to opt in? What do you guys at Choose Chicago say to them? All right, you have to provide X and Y.
Yeah, well, typically, again, the primary requirement is that they are a member of Choose Chicago.
Okay.
And then essentially they opt in to participate by creating these prefixed meals at the price points mentioned, $22 for lunch and brunch and $33 and or $44 for dinner. They create their menus. They pay a participation fee, and then they are eligible to be part of the promotion. So it's pretty simple.
And for that, for the number of restaurants, again, 370, this must be a wonderful experience for them as well, because you have over 100 new restaurants this year, right?
It's an amazing experience. It's probably the most anticipated culinary event every year. People are talking about Restaurant Week months and months and months in advance. As you mentioned, we have 100 restaurants participating for the first time this year that have never participated before. And the 370 restaurants in total sets an all-time record for Chicago Restaurant Week in terms of restaurants.
And are these all different level restaurants, from a smaller family restaurant to what some might consider a big fancy restaurant?
Yeah, this is everything and in between. If you go to eatitupchicago.com, not only will you see all the restaurants, but you can search by cuisine type, you can search by neighborhood, you can search by the meals that they're offering. But yes, this spans the breadth of restaurants from A to Z. So there's really something for everybody, and I encourage everyone to check it out.
When this started, so this is the 11th year, when it started 10 years ago, how many restaurants were involved at that point?
So I remember vividly our executive vice president of the time came to us and said that there were a couple other major cities in the country that were doing a restaurant week, and that we certainly had, the assets and the restaurants and the reputation that we should do one of our own. So we literally cobbled this thing together 11 years ago. In about 3 weeks, we put out our first Chicago Restaurant Week, and we have 44 restaurants participating.
Wow.
The first restaurant to raise their hand and participate was Naha.
Really?
Yep.
Very nice. And are they still involved?
They absolutely are. They are still a participant.
That's excellent. So again, we go back to, it's good for the restaurant. It's good for the consumer, because there may be a place that you've always wanted to try, but you're not sure. Well, this investment of either $22 for brunch or lunch, or $33 or $44 for dinner, it makes it much more accessible to try some of these places that you may have been a little intimidated of before.
Exactly. And that's the whole purpose for Restaurant Week. It's a couple things. It's one, it's we know that the first quarter, January, February in Chicago, it's a little bit cold,
mm-hmm.
and we need to incentivize people to get off their couch and get out and spend a little money and enjoy all the great restaurants that the Chicagoland area has to offer. So that's definitely one reason. And two, as you mentioned, there's a lot of restaurants that people just hear about and they read about and they hear the buzz, but for whatever reason, they don't try it. Maybe they think it's a little too expensive or too fancy. So this promotion every year provides a great opportunity, a great incentive, for people to get out, make reservations, and try something that they normally wouldn't do. And then on the flip side, for the restaurants, it is also a unique way for them to bring in new customers and also share what they have with their existing customers as well.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it's not just restaurants in the city, that there are some restaurants in the suburbs. Was that in effect from the beginning, or did it evolve into, as the number of restaurants participating grew, did the area of coverage grow as well?
Yeah, it's been like that from the start. Obviously, the majority of the restaurants participating are within the city.
Mm-hmm.
But every year, I would say we have approximately 40 suburban restaurants that participate, everywhere from Evanston to Oakbrook to Schaumburg to Northbrook to you name it, LaGrange. I mean, we have restaurants really all over the suburban areas that participate.
Now, the key to this, to Restaurant Week, because it is so popular and so many places are doing it, you can't just wander in. It's best to make reservations at all these restaurants, right?
Yeah, you do need reservations. And off of the eatitupchicago.com website, there is a link where you can make reservations. But you can also call or use any of the normal means of making a reservation with any of these restaurants.
And when you go in, during Restaurant Week, will the restaurants still be, they'll still be offering their regular menus, right? But you can opt for the Restaurant Week menu as well.
They will. All the restaurants that participate will have their Restaurant Week menu available. Most, if not all of them, will also have their regular menu, so you can either order off one or the other. It's really your choice.
Very nice. But the fixed menu sounds, as I peruse some of these, I didn't get through all 370, but I'm like, ooh, that's a nice selection that they're giving you for those prices.
And I'll give you a couple highlights. So,
yes.
Some notable participants that have been with us for many, many years. This year, participating, Cindy's Restaurant, Blackbird, Boca,
wow.
Piccolo Sonio, Cortino, RPM Italian, Siena Tavern, Sunda. So some really, really well-known, great dining establishments. And then on the new front, with I mentioned about 100 new restaurants participating, we've got Boulevard and Booth One, which is new from Let Us Entertain You. We've got Cota de Volpe. We've got Commons Club in the Virgin Hotel. Kuma's Corner on the West
Loop. Oh, wow. Okay.
Hai Su Vietnamese Kitchen. Franco's Ristorante. So we just... It really, there's something for everybody.
Jordan, you're making me hungry. You can get the full list, again, at eatitupchicago.com. You can also make reservations for the restaurants through there. Tell us about the big event that's kicking off the entire Chicago Restaurant Week.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's called the First Bites Bash. It is the official kickoff event held every year the night before Restaurant Week begins. It's on Thursday, February 25th. I'm sorry, Thursday, January 25th. At the Aon Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier. It takes place from 5:30 to 8:30, and this is really our opportunity to showcase 66 chefs and restaurants who are going to be participating in Restaurant Week with tasting stations, over 20 specialty stations for beer and wine, spirits, desserts. Lee Wolin, the executive chef for Boca Restaurant, is our host chef for the evening, and we welcome the public. It is a public event. Tickets are available. All the information, as well as the ability to purchase tickets, can be found on firstbitesbash.com, firstbitesbash.com. And for the first time at this event this year, we are partnering with the Greater Chicago Food Depository to help raise awareness and generate funds for the incredible work that they do. So if you're there, you'll have an opportunity to interact with the Food Depository, even make a donation, and have a chance to win a great weekend getaway if you're at the event in Chicago.
And that's, again, the First Bites Bash is this Thursday, the 25th. Is it black tie, or is it you can just come after work, however you're dressed?
Exactly. Yes, you can come after work, however you're dressed. It's an awesome event in such a gorgeous venue.
Oh, yeah, and then you get to all the specialty tastings. And, again, you can get tickets for that and all the information at firstbitesbash.com. And for all the information on Chicago Restaurant Week, which, again, is January 26th through February 8th, you can go to eatitupchicago.com. Jordan, congratulations on 10 years, and good luck with the 11th event. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to trying a few of these restaurants myself. So thanks for taking some time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Take care. That's Jordan Ingerman. Jordan Ingerman, he is the director of partnerships for Choose Chicago. And again, those websites, eatitupchicago.com, 370 restaurants. How many do you think you'll get to over the restaurant week, Cody? 280? 276? 280, probably. And then firstbitesbash.com if you want to go to the big special event on Thursday that kicks everything off. So, again, thanks to Jordan Ingerman. And there you go. We've got more to talk about, and we will do, though, after this on WGN. I love tacos as much as the next guy. I figure a taco, well, in my mind, a taco should be like 59 cents. But that's not the case. You know, you go to a good taco place, you're paying $3 for a good taco. Would you ever pay $180 for a taco?
No.
Of course not. I'm not going to pay $180 for anything. I know people drop a lot of money to go to some restaurants where they're doing gastronomy and all this kind of stuff. And I've paid money, good money for food, but $118 for tacos, no. And here's the part that got me. Where do you think a place would be charging $118 for tacos? Like L.A. or maybe Dubai or
New
Vegas?
York.
New York, sure. No, Detroit. Dearborn, Michigan, to be exact, which is
really?
Just outside Detroit. Yes, which just adds to the silliness. It's a restaurant called M Cantina, and it's selling $60 tacos. However, you have to buy three at a time. So do the math. As I said, $180 for three tacos. To lure the prospective wealthy diner, the chef operator, Junior Marino, packs the plate with this. Seared American Wagyu beef. A knob of Hudson Valley foie gras, pearls of golden Ostera caviar, and shaved black truffles. Those don't sound like good tacos at all. That sounds horrific. Now, maybe my palate is not as educated as some. I am not as refined a diner as other people who heard those wonderful ingredients and went, oh, man. Now, the Wagyu beef, sure. I have no desire to eat foie gras. None. I'm sorry, and it's not an ethical thing.
I've never tried it.
I haven't either, but it doesn't, and I know this is a very, like, third-grade way of thinking. It doesn't sound like something I'd like. And it's not the fact that they jam a tube down the goose's throat. No, I, you know, I got no I don't know about that. That's not the thing. I just, liver in general, I'm not a fan of. You know, whether it's any kind of liver. Liver
and
onions.
You've never had grilled liver and onions?
Yes. Well,
diner style?
Sure, I've had it. I don't care for it. I've had chicken liver pate. Not really a fan.
Neither am I.
You know, so I've tried it. I'm open to, if somebody put it on my plate, I would probably, you know, I'd take a bite.
You'd deal with it.
I would try it, just because I'm...
Or else hope they have a dog.
Right. Oh, man, how happy would that dog be? That'd be the happiest dog on the planet.
Or a cat, all depending.
I don't know, would a cat eat foie gras? I don't know, maybe. I don't know what cats eat. Caviar, maybe. But, again, altogether, you look like what?
Have you ever had a bad taco?
Have I ever had a bad taco?
Yeah.
I don't think in my entire life?
Yeah, I've
had a bad taco.
Does bad taco, does that refer to what's in it, or does it refer to things like, take a bite and the thing just falls apart?
No, just when you didn't like. Like, when you took a bite and you're like, oh, I don't really like this. I think taco's like pizza. Yeah.
No, there's been, it used to be that way, when you would just go into a place and it was like a steak taco.
Huh.
Well, who doesn't like a steak taco? You have to be some sort of wackadoo.
Right.
But now you go to fancier places, these taquerias, and they've got all kinds of different things in there. And I did try one. It was, I wouldn't say it was bad, but I don't know if I would get it again. It was a duck confit taco. And why on God's green earth would I need a duck confit taco?
Right, but you're messing with the formula that works.
Right.
That's my thing. You're risking.
Yeah, I would, right. You know what would be interesting? A venison taco.
See, but, why make it a taco? Why can't we just, have a venison steak or venison jerky? Cody's right. You're taking, and I understand these chefs all want to do something new. They all want to mix it up a little bit.
So keep it to beef, chicken, or...
Pork, shrimp, fish. Nice fish taco is good.
Fish taco has always scared me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Beef, chicken, and pork, I'm good with.
Fish tacos are phenomenal.
There's some fish tacos. There's a fish taco place down on the West Coast in California. Don't remember the
name. There's a bunch of them. Wahoo's, which is grilled fish.
It might have been
Something else that has the fried. The Baja fish is like a deep-fried fish taco.
Yeah, and they're delicious.
The fish is deep-fried. Oh, they're great with a little cabbage. Oh, man, forget about it. So that's, yeah, listen, David, I'll tell you, I was as skeptical as you seem to be until I lived in California. Then, because I try to adapt to the local flavors, I had a couple fish tacos, and then I became an aficionado. And I seek them out now wherever I go. Fish taco, shrimp taco, those are all good. No points, very low. Mm. So anyway, this guy, he tops his taco with leaves of the succulent ice plant, and served with a side of Hawaiian salt, smoky chili morita sauce, and roasted grasshoppers for crunch. See? Stop. Make enchiladas, make some nice other mix. You could experiment a little, but really? You can put grasshoppers on my taco? I'm not coming to your place, dropping 180. There's a method to his madness, according to this report. He wants to push Mexican food into an extremely fancy category, hoping to shatter the cheap stereotype that Mexican food sometimes gets trapped in. There's certain things at Mexican restaurants I don't think should be very expensive. I don't think a side of rice should be $5. I don't think a side of beans should be $5. But I understand that mole takes a million different ingredients and days to create. So I'll pay extra for that because it's quality. But, I don't think Wagyu beef, caviar, and grasshoppers is a way to elevate the Mexican cuisine. But good luck to him. Many Mexican ingredients are expensive and complex, he said. How much are grasshoppers? That expensive to fry up? I don't know. So, there you go. Detroit, good for you. Drive out to Dearborn and get yourself some $60 tacos. Then look in the mirror and reexamine your priorities. News after this, WGN. All right, we've got, David, you brought up you wanted a venison taco. You thought that might be a good idea. We're getting conflicting reports on the venison taco. One texter saying that venison tacos come out too tough because of how lean the venison is. So skirt steak is better. But then Brian in Montana texts in, as he's wont to do, and he says, we do a lot of deer hunting out here. You make some burger out of the deer. Venison tacos are very good. Don't listen to the other two. Oh, so if you grind up your venison and make it more like a ground beef, maybe that works.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. I can't wait to see you in Cammy your camos, eating venison tacos.
You will not see me in camo.
Of course I won't, because you're camouflaged.
You will not see me hunting either. Not for me. You will not see me gutting anything. I will be happy to share in your bounty once you've already done all that stuff. No.
No, I like to hunt at Jewel, Marianos. So that's why I do my hunting.
I'm a different kind of hunter. I hunt for bargains. Thank you.
Yes, there you go. Very nice. No, I do not begrudge hunters. I'm good for you. It's just not my thing. But I know, people who have, you got to eat. So there's hunting. All right. I told you I was going to scare you about the flu. You know, the flu outbreak, very, very serious this year. They're saying the flu shot may be a little effective. Not really. There's different strains. Things are getting crazy. We've heard all the warnings. Don't sit near people who are hacking up things or blowing their nose. Wash your hands all the time. Keep your hands away from their eyes. Yeah, that might not help. Might not help. Because a new study has come out. And a professor of environmental health at the University of Maryland School of Public Health says that you could get the flu just from breathing. That's right. Let that sink in. A new study finds it may be possible to spread the flu just by breathing. According to this, during the 2012-2013 flu season, this professor and his colleagues studied 142 University of Maryland students affected with active influenza. They were trying to track how and when they expelled particles. You cough, you sneeze, you're expelling some particles. Yeah, right now the FCC is, they're not listening again. Government shutdown. So during a total of 218 30-minute observation sessions, the students sat in a machine that could measure the droplets they shed. Oh, man, you got to really want to be a scientist.
I'm going to put you in a box, and I'm going to measure your droplets.
So these are droplets shed while breathing, talking, coughing, or sneezing. While coughing did expel some flu particles, the researchers discovered that almost half of the aerosol particles collected in the absence of coughing also contained flu matter. I know. This makes me want to go out. A buddy of mine is in Japan. He's in Japan right now, and I see his pictures, and a lot of people in Japan wearing the masks. I may wear the mask.
That's a common feature in Japan.
Yes. Well, they're all everybody's jammed in super tight. He showed a picture of him on what would be the L here, and it was like sardines. And a lot of people had the mask. I may have, now that people are just, I can get the flu just from breathing. I don't even need Cody to cough on me like he normally does, trying to infect me so he can take over the program. I don't like it. Researchers also found that men shed more flu virus per cough than women. Because we have bigger lungs. More to hack up. Women coughed more frequently. People with a higher body mass index also tended to expel more viral particles. Well, sure, they're putting more particles in. So that gets more out. That's my, unscientific guess. They note the study did not track transmission, so it's impossible to say for sure whether the exhaled droplets would have given someone the flu. The validity of airborne transmission is a controversial topic. But I'm going to go for, I'm going to panic. I'm spreading some panic. I'm a fear monger. If you're standing next to someone and they're breathing, they could be giving you the flu. So I'm flying in a couple weeks. I'm debating being that guy on the plane with my mask. Putting the mask. What are you giving me that look for?
No, you're
giving me a look.
This is why the motto of the show for years has been don't breathe.
Yeah, don't breathe. Oh, you can't breathe during this program.
Right.
I don't take a breath.
Right.
I just keep going, no matter what. Whether I have the flu, no matter what's happening to me, I just keep going. The take-home message from this study, Cody, I know you always want a take-home message. You want to put it in a little chop suey box, carry it with you wherever you're going. Stay away from other people when you're sick with flu-like symptoms, even if you're not coughing.
Yeah, I like that call to action there.
Yes, do not be near other people when you're sick. And again, how often do we reiterate this? We hear this all, don't go to work if you're sick. Well, that's fine.
And everybody still goes to work when they're sick.
Of course they do, because they have to go to work. You only have a certain amount of days. You can't be lying about all day, like some layabout. You got to get to work. You got to get paid. Your boss doesn't care till you get the whole office sick. And that's why I know I should be more germ-phobic. Probably, but maybe that's why I don't get sick as much, because I don't come in here and wipe down every surface. I know the surfaces of every piece of equipment in this room are covered with so much. If Dave Savini came in with a black light, I would be terrified and never want to broadcast from here again. But I also don't want to be the guy who comes in with wipes and wipes everything down and does, you know, hand sanitizer nonstop. Now, when I'm in school, that's a different matter because those kids are just projecting all sorts of droplets. So I'm constantly washing my hands. Just walking into a grade in elementary school makes you feel dirty. So I'm always rubbing it up there, but no, not here.
You know, your brain is actually wired to make you extra antisocial when you're sick.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
There's an article about it on Curiosity.com.
Oh, Curiosity.com. I've heard of that.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, that is a shameless plug.
But no, it really is. It's something to do with the way your brain is. It involves something called the vagus nerve, which I don't know I'm allowed to say.
You did. No FCC today. Talk about the vagus nerve. Edumacatus.
It's part of the brain, but basically your immune system, the way it's connected to your brain, just kind of just makes you, like, glued to the couch. Just makes you want to not get up and do
stuff. Yeah, you don't want to talk on the phone. You don't want to do anything. You want to be left alone.
Yeah, exactly.
And even when someone you care about and who cares about you tries to talk to you, you're like, leave me alone.
Right. And there's actually like a 2010 study that in the 48 hours following a flu shot, there were a bunch of participants in the study that became way more extroverted. So
really?
Good health can actually kind of actually push you to get out of the house.
That did not happen to me.
Nah, I
get my flu shot. I'm never becoming more extroverted.
Well, we know how you feel about people.
I don't like... Sure. I can't be near them. They're breathing. Their droplets are coming at me. They could be giving me the flu.
Disgusting.
Just me breathing is enough to get me sick.
Germs.
I don't like it.
Nobody likes germs.
I don't like it at all. So if your sick neighbor at work comes into the office, there's more bad news for germaphobes. Past research has shown that flu masks do little to stop the kind of fine particles measured in the study. I'm going to have to go industrial strength. I'm going to have to call the CDC, see if I can get one of their gas masks.
Do some of the man in the iron mask kind of stuff.
Get one of those ones with the huge filters on the side so I look like a warthog whose tusks have been shaved off. And it just... Then I'm Darth Vadering on the plane. That would be... I'm sure TSA won't mind if I come through with this giant mask on and I'm making these horrible filtering sounds. Because I don't want the TSA, they're touching everything.
No, that's fine, as long as you don't bring a bottle of water.
Yeah, no water. No, and I learned I will not be taking any foodstuffs through TSA, because I don't need the enhanced interrogation again, where they're looking in my Orify to see if I have another Snickers bar.
Yikes.
That was not pleasant. So I don't know, I'm going to have to look that up. All right, so we can't wear the flu mask, that doesn't do any good. Can't be near anybody that's breathing. Who might be sick, because if you breathe, you're going to get their droplets. That's no good.
You can't do the plastic bag.
No.
That's not going to help.
Nothing. Well, put a plastic bag on your head. That's not going to help at all.
No. Well, that won't help you. It won't help, you.
You can bag up the person who's sick.
It'll help other
stay
people.
Stay away from you. Yeah. Is it rude to tell somebody if they're sick to stay away from you? Just walk away?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. As long as you're being considerate, the etiquette, good etiquette's about being considerate of other people.
Okay.
If you're respectful.
Hi, I noticed you were hacking things up. Could you please walk away from me before I, put a plastic bag on your head?
Is that respectful? You hear it all the time. I don't want to, I can't get sick right now. I'm preparing for a big role.
When can you get sick? Listen, this is not a good time for me to get sick. Tell me a good time for you to get sick and I'll come over and infect you. Because, honestly, I know in my life, and I'm guessing it's much like your life, there's no good time to get sick.
There should be an app for that. We're geniuses.
To pick out what's a good time to get sick?
Yes.
Yes, Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. Perfect time to be sick if you never want to get paid again.
No, an app for people to get sick, like for you to get people sick. So I'm a college student, and I don't want to go in Friday for the test, so I swipe right on somebody that's got the flu. They come over. They hack all over me. I get the flu. I get a doctor's note,
like
give it to my
sort
professor.
Of, some sort of germaphobe Tinder?
Yeah.
Or some germ-spreading Tinder.
A germ-spreading Tinder.
That's what Tinder already is. You swipe right and somebody comes over, there's a good chance you're catching something from them. Because they've been doing this before. You're not the first time. That's why I can't understand, I just want them to come. Really? Okay, you want somebody who's been swiped all up and down the, up and down the city to come over to your place? That doesn't seem... I know probably back in the day when people used to just pick people up at bars... It was probably the same thing. It just seems like now you get a lot of retreads. One person can do a lot of damage.
A lot of retreads?
Oh, somebody's saying that they're right. Somebody said I can't get my mask from the CDC because they're closed.
Oh.
But they're not closed all the way. They're just whittled down. So there may be somebody sympathetic there if I call them, listen, here's the thing. I don't want to get sick. And they'll go, you and 17 million other people. Oh, well, all right. Can I put my name on a list to get one of those big CDC masks? You know, then I look like Dustin Hoffman in Outbreak.
What happens if a zombie outbreak happens during the shutdown?
Well, we have to do what we have to do. You know, I've watched every season of The Walking Dead. I know. Jam them right in the head.
That's when people will really stop complaining about the Second Amendment.
You think so?
Well, the zombies.
Well,
come on.
You can shoot them in the head, but you can stab them with a stick, too.
That's true.
Hit them with a rock. That's a good thing about zombies. They're easy to kill. Slow moving, unless you're in one of those Robert Romero movies.
Hmm.
And they're, or is that... No,
George Romero.
George Romero. No, he did the slow ones, didn't he?
He did the slow ones,
yeah. He did the slow ones.
Who did the... I don't know.
That Brad Pitt movie with where they were moving real fast.
And I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, they were fast.
Will Smith.
Right. All right. I don't know. Listen, we've got some tickets to give away. This is very exciting. To celebrate the inaugural show of the new extended Brian Noonan show, my friends at Broadway in Chicago have given me some tickets to give to you, and that's what I want to do. Now, how will I do that? Well, you'll have to wait, and I'll tell you on the other side of these lovely messages. Would you like to go see Potted Potter, the hit Harry Potter parody featuring all 7 Harry Potter books in 70 hilarious minutes? It's now playing at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com, but you don't have to go to BroadwayInChicago.com right now because I have a pair of tickets from my friends at Broadway in Chicago to give to you. All you need to do is be the 7th caller with the correct answer to this Harry Potter trivia question. What is the name of the bank in Diagon Alley where Harry and everyone else keeps their money? What is the name of the bank in Diagon Alley where Harry and everyone else keep their money? That is the question. If you are caller number 7, you are going to go see Potted Potter. So 312-981-7200, that's how you get in, and that's how you answer the question. That's how you go to see Potted Potter at the Broadway Playhouse. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're still getting a lot of talk about venison tacos. A lot of people saying they're good. Somebody saying that the reason the people in Japan wear the masks is that to protect others. So if you're sick, you wear the mask. All right, somebody else had a great suggestion. We're going to try to get Brian Noonan Show flu masks. So we got to get a medical supply company on. We've got to get somebody who's going to pay for that, one of our fine sponsors, and we'll get the Brian Noonan Show flu masks going. That way, if you're feeling bad, you can not only protect others, but you can be a shameless shill for the show. And I love the alliteration with the SH, so you can do that as well. It will be very, very exciting. If they're there, sure, we can, when you get them, the lines are lit up again. What is the name of the bank in Diagon Alley where Harry keeps his money? Cody working the phones feverishly. I saw this story today. Cody sent me a link, and I heard some other people talking about it. Anytime you think living in Chicago is bad, just thank goodness that you don't live in Philadelphia. Because this is what they have to do to prepare for the big Phillies-Vikings game tonight. The police have actually taken to the streets and are coating lampposts in the vicinity of the stadium with Crisco so that people cannot climb them. We'll talk more about that, but first... Chris is in St. Charles, and Chris could be our big winner if he has the correct answer. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
And what is the answer to our question?
I believe it was Gringotts.
Gringotts is, in fact, the name of the bank in Diagon Alley where Harry and everybody else keep their money. Gringotts, very good. Congratulations. You're going to go see Potted Potter, which is phenomenal. It's a Harry Potter parody. All 7 books in 70 minutes. These two guys, they bang it through. They play the characters. It's hilarious. It's at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. You can get your tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. And these are for the February 2nd show. Tickets for the February 2nd show. So, Chris, congratulations. Hang on. Let Cody get all your information and enjoy the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
You are very welcome. There you go. So that's that. Thank you to our friends at Broadway in Chicago. Thank you to our friends at Potted Potter. All right. So this is what's happening. As I said, they've got crews from the city out covering light poles with Crisco to prevent Eagles fans from climbing after the NFC Championship game tonight. Vikings pregame coverage, that's from a station in Minnesota. They hope the tactic is going to prevent unruly fans from climbing the light poles. So it doesn't matter. They're not saying, well, if the Eagles win, they're going to climb. They just know no matter what happens, lunatics in Philadelphia are going to start climbing the light poles. So they're greasing them up. like one of those games that you play at camp where they put Vaseline all over a watermelon and then throw it into the pool. And you got to, or the greased pig race where people are chasing a pig all around a pen trying to catch it and it's all greased up. Philly Police Commissioner Richard Ross also advised businesses that plan to be closed on Sunday to take precautions against fans who might be celebrating a Philly victory. They want, if your business is going to be closed, make sure your gates cover your windows and that they're locked securely to protect your property. Take anything in that might be outside your business, trash cans, flower pots, etc. I've never understood the phenomenon of rioting and trashing things when your team wins. And I know we had it here when the Bulls won. You see them all over. You see little riots. I know when the Cubs were going for the clinch of the World Series, there was all sorts of precautions in case there were going to be big riots. I don't understand that mentality. What makes you so happy that your team won that you want to just destroy things? I mean, I've been happy about a lot of things. Never so happy that I wanted to break a window, throw a flower pot through somebody's door, or flip a cab over and set it on fire. What's the impetus for that? Well, as you go, man, I'm so happy, I am going to loot. Usually I think of riots for people who are unhappy, you know? People who are, they've been oppressed, there's, some sort of ill has been done socially to them. Never, woohoo, my team won the championship. Well, I'm not really part of the team. My life is kind of empty. I'm just going to destroy stuff now. Wee! Would you ever climb a lamp pole, Pody? Cody? Pody?
Pody?
Pody, would you ever climb a lamp pole, Pody?
If my name was Pody, I might.
Pody. Now, I remember when I was at Southern, we won the national championship for one class 1AA in football. And as we were moving toward going down to Charleston, South Carolina for the championship in the playoff games, rowdy students would take to the field after a victory and tear down the goalpost and then parade it through the streets of Carbondale. So they started, as we got closer to the penultimate game that would lead us to the championship, they began surrounding the goalpost with security in the fourth quarter. Because our stadium at that point was not big, so it was like a high school stadium, kind of. And it was, so you could just flood onto the field, which again, I don't understand, but you could say, okay, it was college. They allowed us to bring coolers into the game. So there were a lot of drunk college students. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but it's part of the thing. But now, you're an adult rooting for a professional team and you're going to climb a light pole?
Do you think the team should have to pay for all the damage?
No.
Why not?
Why is the team responsible?
Because it's their fans.
That doesn't matter. They can't be responsible for their fans.
Yeah, they can.
No, they can police them in the stadium.
Ah.
But they can't. If I'm a Bears fan and I go to a game and I get all jacked up because they won, I don't know, six games in a season,
next year
I'll be very excited. And I go out and I start trashing stuff, are the Bears responsible for that?
But it'll discourage people from doing it because if they're such big fans and they love their team.
No, it'll discourage. No.
Yeah, they don't.
You're putting rational thought to irrational acts.
Yeah,
those acts are never going to be rationalized. Plus, then what's the incentive for a team to win? I don't want to win. I don't want to lose.
Well,
forget it. We're folding up.
Look,
I don't want to play again because my fans are idiots and I can't control them. And I'm not paying for them. I'm not paying for Joe 30-pack to go out and swing from a lamppost and then fall down. So would they be liable too if that idiot climbs the light pole and falls down and breaks his neck?
As long as the taxpayers don't have to deal with it, that's fine.
Well, you would hope. Well, the taxpayers are because they're sending out work crews to grease up the poles. Now, how does that... I don't know how long Crisco stays on a light pole. Grease up the pole is another wonderful euphemism. But I don't know how long that stays. Do they have to now send somebody out, crews out tomorrow with scrub brushes to clean the poles? All right, we're 3 weeks into January. You made resolutions 3 weeks ago. We want to know how they're holding up. We're going to do a resolution check-in on the other side of the news, which comes your way in about 2 minutes on WGN. 312-981-7200. We want to check in quickly on your New Year's resolutions. It's been 3 weeks. Remember, January 1st, you said, oh, I'm going to do this and this. I'm going to make my life healthier. I'm not going to do anything bad. I'm going to whatever you were going to do. I'm going to read a book a week. Whatevs. Boy, I sounded like a 13-year-old girl there. Whatever you were going to do, how's it going? You don't have to give us your name if you don't want, but if you want to be brave and be honest with us, then do that. 312-981-7200. No judgment here. We just want to kind of help out. And we want people who are, you know, we want you not to feel too bad. So maybe hearing other people say, well, I was doing okay, and then I slipped up for a night, and then I got back on. All right, that's good, too. So we will do that. But first, David was mentioning the fog and the mist, and sitting here in the Allstate Showcase studio, looking outside down Michigan Avenue, it looks like something out of a Arthur Conan Doyle novel. Like the Hounds of the Baskervilles should be coming right at us from down by the river. It is crazy foggy out there. And this is going to be going on for a while. So be, again, you heard David mention this, be careful if you're going out. Because if you're on the road, holy cow. I hate driving in this kind of weather. In fact, I'm making Cody drive me home. He doesn't have a car, but he's going to rent one. Then he's going to drive me home, come back tomorrow, pick me up, drive me back here so I can get my car. That's how much I hate driving in this weather.
It seems logistically inefficient, but there's a method to the madness.
Of course there is. I would never do something just to be inefficient, logistically and or otherwise. But yes, this is rough, so be careful out there. All right, so here's the deal. I made some resolutions. I'll start with me because maybe that'll open things up. Also, people checking in on Crisco real quick. It's going to stay on the pole. Somebody is going to have to go around. They're going to have to send crews in Philly to clean that up. And scientists have left Crisco uncovered in the garage. Nobody, no bugs or anything, will eat it. They just walk across it. We used to use Crisco. We used to always have a can of Crisco in the house. David, you're of an age where you probably had Crisco in your house.
I do indeed remember Crisco. I also remember, wasn't there a McDonald's burger or cheeseburger that somebody got and left it sitting out for a year and the bugs didn't touch it either?
Oh, yeah, Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah.
With Super Size Me, where it didn't move. Yeah, they'd use Crisco for cooking, whether it was chicken or bacon, anything, they'd use Crisco. And then you'd keep the can under the sink so that when you cooked bacon, you just pour the grease in the empty.
The grease fat.
Yeah. And then you'd have a huge can of grease under your, that was, man, those were the days, Cody. Big can of grease. I would imagine.
Who cares about good and bad cholesterol?
Right. Nobody cared. And I would imagine the majority of homes in the Chicago area at a certain time in this country had a can of grease under their Crisco to cook with, that was in the pantry, and then the can of grease under the sink that you used when you poured out things from cooking. And then the weird thing was, you would just take that can of grease and throw it in the garbage when it was full. So like a huge grease bomb just going into the landfills.
Beautiful. Yeah, but you didn't pour it down the drain.
No.
Which can lead to some rather interesting headaches later.
Listen, when I got to live on my own, if I was cooking something and there was just a little bit of grease, I would pour it down the drain, but only after I had let the hot water run a lot first. Then I'd pour the grease down with the hot water and then allow the hot water to keep going. So I figured by the time the grease was going to congeal, it would be out of my pipe and it'd be somebody else's problem.
Have you seen any of those stories about sewer workers who have come across these rather humongous globs of stuff?
No.
A lot of it
horrifying.
Because it's lots of people dumping their grease down the drain.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It's not pretty.
I don't do that anymore. I don't really cook bacon anymore. Anything with a lot of grease. But now I feel bad. Not too bad. But, yeah. I'll keep it in mind. All right. So I decided on New Year's Day that I made a couple resolutions. One, I was going to lose 30 to 35 pounds. I needed to get, I've become lackadaisical over the years. I'm still well over 100 pounds down from when I started. It'll be 7 years ago in July. So 6.5 years ago. I'm still well, way down. But.
And anyone who doesn't know, you should know that your transformation was dramatic.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was 160 pounds total, the first time. But then I figured, you know, I was getting a lot of this, oh, you look sick, blah, 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 blah. So I looked at pictures, and I'm like, all right, maybe when I was at the very lowest, I didn't look the greatest. But I've looked at things. I came across a weight where, one, my clothes fit me real well, and I felt good. So that was my target. And I, you know, I'd been enjoying craft beers and a lot of stuff, and you know, and then I had surgery, so I couldn't go to the gym. There was a lot going on. So I was like, all right, I'm going to recommit to losing this weight so that I'm, you know, back to where I want to be for myself. You know, because I don't want to have to, listen, I had to buy, I I got rid of a whole big fat wardrobe once. I'm not even letting some of the fat clothes creep back in. I'm not doing it. And then I resolved to not have a beer until we went to Mardi Gras. So that would constitute, from January 1st to February 9th, I would not have a beer.
Does that include the flight down there?
See, this is my thing, because once I get to the airport, I'm technically going to Mardi Gras.
You've
got to
warm up.
Yeah. Oh, from no less a concern than my mother yesterday. She said something. I go, well, I haven't. You know, I'm not drinking. Not drinking until I go to Mardi Gras. Will you be able to handle it then? I'm like, wow. My mom's worried that I'm going to be a lightweight. I said to Debbie, even if I can't anymore, that's good, because then I think of how much money I'll save if I can only drink one or two beers. But anyway, so I think once I get to the airport, if I want a beer, I'll have one.
Yeah.
But that's, so on both those counts, I am doing well. I have not had a beer since January 1st. Last night we were out to dinner, and my wife, who I love, I say that just in case she's listening, said, well, can't you just have one light beer? Because I'm doing it for calories. I'm not doing it for, you know, other reasons. I'm doing it because I know how much all this beer has added to the weight. And I said, why are you trying to sabotage me? And, you know, then she had a couple beers in front of me, just to taunt me. And that was fine. But, so I've done that. I'm 3 weeks in, and I've got 2.5 weeks to go before I go to Mardi Gras, so this is a no-brainer. And as far as the weight goes, I'm down 13.5 pounds since January 1st. So I tell you that not to brag. I tell you that because I set some New Year's resolutions, and I also resolved that I was going to read more books this year, and I've already read one book. So I'm off to a pretty good start. It's all going to fall apart February 9th once I hit New Orleans. Everything goes to hell. But for now, sequestered safely at home, I'm doing okay with my resolutions. Now, did you set any resolutions? I know we didn't really talk about those at the end of the year, because I always think that's kind of eh. But like I said, I set some for myself. Did you set any?
I set vague resolutions.
Like, does that make it a resolution?
I don't know exactly.
All right.
I vaguely was like, oh, I'm going to start going to classes at my gym so that I'm going to the gym.
Perfect.
So I went to two.
Okay.
Since I got my membership, I got the membership late. I got it like last weekend.
Okay.
But I've gone to the gym 3 times since then.
That's good.
But they were at the start of the week, so like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like I was going to go to a class yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Was going to go to a class this morning.
What kind of classes? Like a Zumba?
Any group class.
Really?
I had like a group lifting class. I didn't like it, but usually there's this group like core class. It's a 30-minute ab routine.
Oh, wow.
Because I like to get in and out. I like it to be 30 minutes, 60 minutes if it's really fun, but like I don't want to work out for more than an hour. I want to go hard and fast and be exhausted
right.
And be done.
You mean at the gym?
At the gym.
Okay.
Typically.
All right.
Or wherever.
Okay.
But yeah, I DDP yoga, you know, is 20 to 30 minutes most of the time. So.
That's been the other problem with the, between the gallbladder and the foot surgery. I haven't been able to go to the gym in a couple months.
So I'm like,
ugh. But yeah, I'm like you, in and out. I want to get in, I get my stuff done. Usually if I'm there an hour, hour and five, that's about it for me. I can't.
I also got this app, Couch to 5K. Have you heard this?
I've heard of that. Are you doing it?
My co-host on my WGN Plus podcast, Game Life Balance US.
I've heard of that.
John did Couch to 5K, and John was actually kind of a bigger kid growing up.
Yeah.
And for him to be able to run is like a huge deal. He actually ran his first 5K.
Very nice.
Doing this app, and now he's running like, I see him on Twitter, he's running like 4 or 5 miles. Just as like a workout.
Just a run.
Yeah. And
good for him.
It was really great. He feels so incredible about the whole thing.
Well,
so,
anytime you can make a transformation like that, it's good.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, it can be something small, too.
Yeah.
Just a little thing. It doesn't have to be life-changing like John's to do that.
And I used to run, but I started to hate it being an adult.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get back into.
Okay.
You know, I think a little bit. So, I got the app, and I skipped the first couple weeks because the idea is you get, like, a few workouts out a week, and then, you know, it gets progressively harder.
Right.
I skipped ahead the first couple weeks.
Oh, like, okay.
I didn't feel I needed to ease into it that much, so I jumped into, like, week 3.
And then what happened? You're like, oh, my legs. I got the shin splits.
It was all right. But I was doing the treadmill, but I've been thinking about switching to the elliptical to be better.
I do elliptical. So, less impact.
So, I don't, like, I got on a machine that I think is an elliptical, and it didn't, I didn't know
it
how
didn't
to
lip.
Work it. Did, it didn't lift right.
Okay. What do you mean you don't know how to work it? You move your feet and your arms.
All right, but there are some where you move your arms, and there are other ones where you don't move your arms.
Yeah, most of them you move. I don't know. I do the arm ones.
It felt really unnatural and weird to me.
Yeah.
And, like, my glutes were
hurt.
Getting all the work.
Okay, that's... I don't know what kind of machine you're on. You on a Stairmaster?
No, I like the Stairmaster, comparatively.
I don't know.
But, I don't know. The elliptical, it freaks me out. I don't know what I'm doing on there.
Right, so you have... you've kept to your resolutions.
I'm easing into the resolution. I wouldn't say I'm batting 1,000, but I'd say I'm at least starting.
But you didn't chuck them in the first 3 weeks. You're still trying. You're still making. Couch to 5K is the app you just mentioned, right? Some texters coming in. Couch to 5K.
Yeah, it's free as well.
Very
so
nice.
It's pretty
yeah,
nice.
I know a couple people who've used it. I still do the 5Ks, but I just fast walk them because my arthritis in my knees are so bad that I can't run on doctor's orders.
No.
That was my favorite thing ever when I went to the doctor first for the knee. He goes, well, what's your goal? I go, I want to run a 5K. He said, get another goal. That's not going to happen. I'm like, all right, doc, thank you very much. All right, 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in and tell us how you're doing as we're checking in on your resolutions, we'll do that for a couple more weeks and just see how people are doing it. Feel free to jump in. In the meantime, listen to this on WGN. Brian Noonan, WGN, you may be thinking, hey, you're early. Well, just repeating now, we have a new start time and an extended program on Sunday. So instead of 6 to 9, like we have been for, it's been 6 years that we've been doing 6 to 9. Now we are doing 3 to 7 on Sundays, 3 to 7. Karen Conti now has her own show. She will be on at 7 o'clock. So we'll talk to Karen before 7. We are going to talk about a new app that is made. Dating is hard, but this app is going to be crazy. We're going to talk about that after the news. SAG Awards are tonight. Are you a follower of the SAG Awards? I know it's award show season. First, we had the Golden Globes. And then we've got the People's Choice. The Oscars nominations are coming out on Tuesday. This is the SAG Awards. I voted in the SAG Awards because, you know, I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild. So I had, but unusual tonight, usually the SAG Awards don't have an MC. Well, tonight they do. Kristen Bell is hosting the SAG Awards, and all the presenters will be women. There will not be one male presenter. And the producer said that's because they want to honor all the women who've spoken up this year and all of that. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's fine. And as a male in the industry, very peripherally, but as a male in the industry, I don't see any problem with that. So it's going to be very exciting. It was interesting trying to vote because I got all my screeners. And, if you don't know what that is, a lot of the companies will send you DVD copies or electronic copies if you're in the union so that you can, they're like, hey, for your consideration, for example, I got the DVD for The Big Sick, which was hilarious and nominated for a couple awards. And so, you know, I watch these and then you can go on and vote. Cause in the past, you know, you could vote, but if you haven't seen anything, you're kind of just a jerk. So I watched a few things and voted and it was fun. But now then you're supposed to do. And I follow the rules to the letter. All through the DVDs, especially at the beginning, it's piracy is a big problem. You're supposed to take these and destroy them. So theoretically, what you're supposed to do is the minute the end credits are done with the DVD, you're supposed to eject it from your DVD player and then destroy it by fire or sledgehammer or whatever it is that you use to destroy a DVD. That's how you're supposed to destroy it.
Hopefully not by fire. That's not good for the environment.
Listen, I'm burning DVDs out back just because I want to stay a member of good standing in SAG-AFTRA. So I hang on to them for my own personal use. I don't have screenings at the house. They don't want you having screenings. They don't want you giving them to everybody so they can copy them and download them. But, I'll hang on to them. I got a nice little collection. But they never leave my house. But now I guess if you're a thief and you're looking to steal screeners, you know where to come. But you got to find me, figure out where I hide them, get past the attack dogs and my zombies that I have chained on the front porch, like in Walking Dead. So a lot of good things. I will watch the SAG Awards because it's as self-congratulatory as every award show. But I figure it's
by the people. It's about actors by actors. You know what I mean? It's, I'm voting for other people. Again, when I say in my profession, I've done a couple things, but I don't say that like, hey, look. But that's what it is. It's people in the union voting for other people in the union saying, hey, you did a good job. And there's a lot of great performances out there. So it was very exciting to be involved in that. So I did, now there were, this was the hard one. Best, outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture. The Big Sick, which have you seen The Big Sick?
I've not seen The
this
Big Sick.
This is one you and the lovely Mrs. Cody, Dr. Mrs. Cody would like.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's set in Chicago. It's a young guy. He's a Muslim comic and it's based on a true story. His true story, and he falls in love with a girl who is a white girl, and how his parents and her parents react, and she gets very sick. It's a really good movie. I think you would enjoy it. So that, Get Out. Did you see Get Out? Have you seen any movies?
No.
All right. Because this is, I don't get this Get Out movie.
Everyone is obsessed with this movie.
I don't understand why.
Every single person I know is obsessed with it.
I know.
It's the best movie ever made.
It's not.
It describes all of society's ills in allegorical fashion.
Not all of them.
Many of them. Apparently.
I watched it. It was okay. It's not a bad film. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I just don't get what all the hubbub is about.
And change your life.
Well, it was. You know, they say it was it's supposed to be funny, and then it was scary, and it was. I mean, it was unsettling. It was a little unnerving, but it was. It was kind of, I don't know, kind of like Rosemary's Baby meets
Saw.
Stepford Wife meets Saw. The performances were good and I enjoyed it. I just don't get what all the hubbub is about. That's the thing. And people are, like you said, people are losing their collective minds over it.
It's got to be a generational thing because everybody my age is super into it.
Oh, I talked to Richard Roper the other day. He loved it.
Oh.
One of his 10 best of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, 10 best of the year. I mean, that's
well, of last
broad.
Year. Well, last year. It's counting last.
Top 10. You know, yeah, but how many
2017.
Movies? 2017. How many movies come out in a
tons.
Year? Tons. Couple hundred?
Tons, yeah.
Top 10?
Top 10's pretty
that's
good.
A lot. That's
pretty
a lot.
Good.
I don't know. There's a lot of bad movies.
Lady Bird was nominated for this. Again, I saw Lady Bird. I don't get what the hype is about. Mudbound, I haven't seen yet, but I have the screener. And Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is phenomenal.
I've never heard of that.
Woody Harrelson, Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell, who swore on Saturday Night Live last week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Oh, dropped the F-bomb during a sketch.
Uh-oh.
Perfect.
Yep, that's his last appearance.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Nope.
But I went, I was, this is where I was torn, because I like The Big Sick, I like Three Billboards, so I was, where do I, you know, who do I vote for? Ray Romano, Holly Hunter in The Big Sick, really good. Kumail is the first name of the main character. I can't remember his last name. But I was torn. I went with The Big Sick. I voted Big Sick.
Wow.
That's who I threw my vote toward. All right. On the other side of the news, we're going to talk about this app. We've gone too far. I don't know how you're dating. If you hear about this, you'll stop dating altogether. We'll talk about that after the news, which comes your way after this, WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. We're here till 7 o'clock, and then Karen Conti comes in with her brand new show from 7 to 9. If you're dating, and you had the option of signing a consent form prior to the date, would you do it? My question is, where has conversation gone? Are we this separated from each other that we need technology to step in and lay the groundwork for our romantic encounters? Why am I asking this? Well, because I've got time to fill. No, I'm asking because a brand new app may be coming to smartphones. It will allow you to consent to sex before going on a date. Now, listen, I haven't dated in a long time, so I don't know. It was always a gamble. You never knew if it was going to happen or not. You dated more recently than me, but still you haven't dated for a while. Is that something that would, did you know beforehand? I mean, if you were like me, you probably always hoped it would happen, but, you know.
Yeah, you can't go into a date assuming that's going
to
happen.
Well, now you don't have to assume. Because
I'm very good looking, so I usually could.
but go on a date?
Assume.
Or ABC, always be closing.
Yep.
All right. Well, the concept is called legal fling, and it involves a legally binding agreement. Oh, this is hey, would you like to go out for dinner and sign this legally binding agreement that we're going to have intercourse afterwards? Unbelievable. Many things can go wrong when dating. Yeah, like try to have somebody sign this thing before you go on a date. The app concept wants to facilitate some of that by protecting its users before they have before they make the love. According to a criminal attorney, he believes the app may work out for some people. Yeah, what about the other people? 312-981-7200. If you're in the dating world and this app were in, you know, would you ever consent to this? And if somebody sent this to you, would you even go on the date with them?
Honestly, I'd be kind of interested, but is it even legally binding if it happens before
well,
the
hang
date?
On. It is legally binding. Ooh. It'll facilitate a conversation between couples about what they're interested in doing or not interested in doing. All right, well, they should be having that conversation anyway. If you get, I understand the heat of passion, and I unfortunately understand miscommunications, and I understand horrible things have happened because of those miscommunications. Not only miscommunications, but, you know, bad intent on people's parts. I understand all that. But it's still, my question is still valid. Why aren't we talking about this more? If you're on a date, if you're with somebody, you should... If you're old enough to be in that position where you're going to, you know, get naked, then you should be able to talk to somebody. If you're going to be, you know, rolling about with them, you should be able to ask them a question or listen to what they're telling you without having an app help. But Legal Fling, it's the first blockchain-based app to verify explicit consent before couples have sex, making the do's and don'ts clear to both parties. Boy, that... I don't want to live in a... God forbid something ever happens to my wife. I am never dating again. Never. Never. Can you imagine? No. The app records sexual consent in a legally binding agreement, Cody the G. A request for consensual sex is sent to a phone contact of the user's choice. The other person accepts it, and that person then clicks a heart for yes or an X for no.
What?
Hey, we're going to the movies tonight. I was thinking maybe afterwards, you know, we'd make the beast with two backs. What do you think about that? Heart me or X me? Let me know.
Wow.
Wow. Wow is right.
I didn't realize that a third party was involved.
Well, sure.
Whatever happened to Don't Kiss and Tell?
I go on the app. Well, now it's before you kiss, you gotta tell.
Wow.
It's pre-kiss and tell. They can also list their do's and don'ts before going on a date. Oh, my. So you know going in. Oh.
Where's the fun?
It's not going to be foolproof, said the lawyer. You can still withdraw consent verbally, so you'll have to stop. So even though, Cody, I told you I would do X and Y, and I sent you the heart, if all of a sudden I get skittish and I say, no, no, you have to listen.
Right. Carol texted and said, what if you say yes on the app and your date gets falling down drunk and you change your mind?
Well, then you have to listen for verbal. It sounds like verbal consent will override the app. So if I change my mind down the road, that takes precedence over the app. You can't go, hey, man, you said on the app. Well, I don't want to do that now. But the app! Read the app! I'm not doing it now. I said no, but you hearted me earlier. I don't care. I'm not sleeping with you now.
So you have to open the app and say this, or is it just listening to you the entire time?
No.
Recording all of whatever you're having?
No. The verbal consent or the withdrawal of consent is just, you got to trust that the other person is going to...
It's not recorded anywhere? That defeats the entire purpose of the app.
Your initial response is recorded.
Yeah.
So, but if I change my mind later, you know, it's not voice recording. It's not listening to you. There's not some, you know, the app isn't like Alexa.
Right, but, all right, here, to me, if I were back in the dating world,
yes.
I would actually probably think about using this, because as a person in the media, like, If anything goes remotely wrong on a date and some girl decides she really hates me or wants to mess with my career, she can just go say stuff. And it's really hard to prove that you didn't do something.
Right?
So, like, so I get this app, then I get her to consent, then I get her friend to do a little heart, and then it's like, cool, we're all dandy. Well, if she can just verbally withdraw it and that's supposed to be a thing, then no matter what happens that night, even if it goes really great, if 2 weeks later we get in a fight and she decides, I didn't really have fun that night, or, oh, Cody's a jerk, well, then suddenly she can say, oh, well, I verbally said no, and that defeats the entire purpose of proving that, like, you know, you're
right. No, I get your point, and maybe then in the middle, once she says no, you got to go back in the app and change it manually. Hold on, where's my phone? All right, would you please put her next where you put the heart? So now I know you do not want to consent. Maybe you just travel with a lawyer all the time, or a third party. Every apartment should come with a third party, where you just, if you're going on a date, you have to bring someone with. It's chaperones. We're going back to the 1800s. If you come a-courting, you got to bring a chaperone. Because I want somebody else there to back me up. Because there's a lot going on now, and I'm not discrediting anybody. But there's a lot of wiggle room where a misunderstanding can lead to something when it shouldn't. There's a lot of bad behavior that has been overlooked under the guise of, oh, it was a simple misunderstanding. No, a simple misunderstanding happens one time, where if I do something and you say no, and I go, oh, I thought you were into that, and you go, no, I'm not. Okay, that's a simple misunderstanding. If I then continue, then you've crossed that line from misunderstanding into bad behavior. If something goes wrong, the app can help prove or disprove a claim, according to this. There's a lot more evidence when people are using these types of apps, said the attorney. Bottom line is, you should be careful who you engage in these activities with. So right now it hasn't happened yet. It's simply a concept. They hope to launch it for iPhones and Android devices, but they're working on it. But see, just talking about it for the last few minutes, we've come up with a lot of potential issues, you know, and if, well, come on. If I send you a text or this thing at 4 o'clock, you could say, absolutely, we're knocking all the boots tonight. And then by 10 o'clock, after we've had no conversation at dinner, we saw a horrible movie, I have bad breath, I dress funky, you've gone, you know what, I've rethought this. So just having, you're right, there's going to have to be a way to quickly make that change. So, I don't know, but again, I would not want to, would be better if the app was at the time, according to this texter. Legally binding means you can't verbally change. I don't know. That's the thing. I can see where this may prove useful for a guy who gets blamed falsely after the fact, from the 773. This sure would help colleges across the country. Well, there's colleges that already have those sorts of consent forms that you have to have somebody sign. You know, or you have to ask a number of questions and make sure you get. But again, I can ask you those questions. You can say yes and then have buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
And that's where this whole thing gets very murky.
Obviously, optimistically, it'd be nice to say, well, we never needed these before, so why do we need them now?
But we did. We technically kind of did need them before.
That's true.
Because there was a lot of people doing things that they shouldn't have.
But I think that now it's especially, I mean, if I were a male in college, I would 1,000% download this. Because the problem is that these days the court of public opinion is so fast and so completely just forgiveless.
And it doesn't matter, unforgiving.
Unforgiving.
It doesn't.
What's that?
I'll tip one in for you, Cody. That's my pleasure. Forgiveless.
Forgiveless.
Wasn't that a Heart of the Matter, the Don Henley? Forgiveless.
There was a better word.
Unforgiving.
Ruthless, I don't know, something.
No, well, you can ruin somebody's reputation with a false tweet, a false Facebook post. So for all the good that is being done, there's a great potential for harm and a great potential for knee-jerk reactions to destroy somebody. And see, I hesitate to say that because while I believe it's true, it also then makes me a target for people who will think, well, he's not, you know, he's of that old mindset where it's just, no, I'm not of that old mindset. I have a daughter and a wife, and I would do physical damage to someone who hurt either one of them.
Yeah.
But I also understand that there's times where things don't afterward things don't go as you plan. And I'm not blaming the victim, because sometimes there's not a victim. Sometimes it's things are consensual to a point, and then they're done, and, oh, I thought you were going to call me back. Nah, I was just, I'm a hit it and quit it kind of guy. Well, that angers people. And then you can make an allegation. Now, the false allegations are very small. We've talked back in the past, we've talked about these allegations being very small, but there's still, I'm not talking about allegations where you press criminal charges falsely. All you need to do is put a Facebook post or a tweet, and that's going to set things down a road that you can't come back from. So as much as I can't believe it, I can see the usefulness of this. I think they really have to work out a lot of the kinks about how consent can then be withdrawn, or how is this going to stand up in court, Because it's always going to be, you signed it at 7. Our encounter happened at midnight. There's a lot of time in between.
Can I ask I know this is probably...
Oh, look who's here.
Oh, hi there.
Jumping in early. Roger Badish, long time no see. I saved the topic for after 6 just because you were coming in.
Well, God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I
How are you?
It.
Nice to
I'm
see you.
I'm doing great.
You know,
good
we started at 3.
Yeah, I know. I was a little late.
You started 6.
Yeah, okay.
But we're happy to see you. What do you want to say?
I know this is probably a question for Karen Conti.
She has a show from 7 to 9.
I understand that. But don't most contracts weigh down lower in the contract have some kind of out for both parties, like if upon 6 weeks of written notice or something like that? Wouldn't there be something like that in this online contract where you could get out of it legally through some means before anything happens?
Well, they're saying verbal, if you withdraw consent verbally, that overrides the contract. But there has to be a way then to record that verbal consent being taken away.
Yeah, because then it becomes a thing of he said, she said.
Right.
And that would be in the courts forever.
And we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh well.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Nice to have you. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, listen, you're here. You're here if you want to jump in. That's fine. We're going to take a quick break. And then this is exciting. We're in the top 20 for something. Chicago's in the top 20. We'll talk about it for a few minutes after this, WGN. After 6 o'clock, we will delve into the question, are you elderly and when do you become elderly? That's why I waited to talk about this when Roger was here. It's a man who came in with 2 plastic hips and, he's elderly. So we'll talk about that after. But, oh man, the announcement came out the other day. How excited is everybody that Chicago has made the top 20 for the finalists for Amazon's HQ2? It could be coming. Cody does not look happy. I think this is terrific. I think it's good. Now, there are arguments, of course. People saying, listen, they're giving a lot of tax incentives to these companies. Maybe, take companies that are paying taxes so you can use that for schools, blah, blah, blah. That's one argument. The other argument is, are cities giving away too much to get this? I don't think so. When you're talking about, all these jobs, up to 50,000 jobs and supposedly well-paying jobs coming into a city, you're going to be, they're talking about reinvesting money over the 10 years. So I think it's good. I don't think there's a downside. I think Chicago is a wonderful spot for this. Some of the other cities, Boston, Dallas, Washington, D.C., which a lot of people are saying could have an edge because, they already have a lot of Amazon employees working in Washington, D.C. Bezos owns the Post. They're thinking that might be good. What Chicago has that a lot of other cities don't have is a lot of open areas where the headquarters could be placed. There's talk about the Michael Reese campus. There's talk about the old post office. There's different areas. So I'm excited about this. 312-981-7200. You feel free to jump in. Let me know your thoughts. Here's here's one that I've been hearing a lot since the announcement. Well, got to be careful because if HQ2 comes to Chicago, it's going to drive up rents and real estate prices, and we're going to turn into San Francisco or Seattle, where the Amazon headquarters is now, where people in the city cannot afford to live there. Rents are astronomical. Where are you going to go? People are more worried about that than trying to acclimate 50,000 employees into the Chicago area, which shouldn't be a problem. Again, Chicago has a very good public transportation system. We've got the highways, which are crowded as it is, but, you know, everybody's not, all 50,000 aren't going to be living off the Eisenhower. So your traffic is, you know, may increase a little bit, but it's not going to be exponentially worse than it is because everybody's not living in the same place. But to the point of the real estate and the rents going up and the real estate being out, there was a very good piece in the Trib today that says experts are saying this is a worry that we don't have to, it's a non-issue. Everything's going to be fine. Experts are saying that even if Amazon chooses Chicago, no one knows what part of the city or the suburbs it's going to be in. Okay, so that's fair enough. Again, I mentioned two locations right here in the city, on the south side at the Michael Reese Center, and then the old post office. All right, so you'd get a lot of people trying to live in the city, close, who are going to work there. That's fine. But there's so many open spaces and so many suburbs, we're going to be fine. So a senior economist at Zillow, which is one of those housing and real estate websites, says that the real estate market would likely they'd be able to adjust fairly quickly. Because this I found very interesting. You know, there was the big real estate crash not too long ago. Now, nationwide, prices have bounced back. They're about 5% above the pre-crash levels. Well, Chicago hasn't responded that quickly. Chicago is still a little bit below where we were value-wise before the crash. So they're saying that while an influx of people would bring, you know, a shot in the arm for the real estate market, you get more people trying to rent, it would raise rents, it would raise real estate prices in the short term. In the long term, because again, we go back to all the open space, there would be more multifamily units built. So there would, you know, then everything would start to even out again. So while you might get a quick spike, it's not going to be like New York, where there's just no more room, or Boston, or Seattle, where they don't have the room to build anymore in close proximity to where the headquarters would be located. That's not an issue here. So I'm good. I'm good with it. You don't seem sold. What do you got against good tech jobs, Cody? You want us all to be, what do you want us all to be doing? Driving Uber? What's the matter?
No, not based on an Uber I took the other day.
Oh.
And a pretty rough driver. I don't know. I just don't want it to, no one likes change. Maybe I'm just being a, you know, stubborn.
I do.
Setting my ways.
I don't like change either, but I like a lot of jobs coming to the city. I like, you know, being a, even though I'm not in the tech industry.
Yeah.
I like that now Google is looking here, Apple's looking for more stuff.
I'm very good with it as long as it doesn't push people out of their neighborhoods and as long as this whole real estate deal is true and it doesn't really kind of transform everything. Like, I don't want to get priced out of my apartment in the next year, you know, 5 years.
Well, I mean, if you look, rents are going up all the time.
Yeah.
It's expensive to live in the city. Come out near me. Come on, Amy.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, go way out in the sticks.
As soon as Bitcoin hits 50K, yeah, I'll be.
Oh boy, I hear Bitcoin is done. That's
fake news. Is that fake news? That's fake news.
All right. Yeah, Bitcoin. Oh, all the cyber currency. What do you call it? Cyber currency?
Cryptocurrency.
It's cryptocurrency.
It's so fake news.
That's what Superman was allergic to, right? Cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
That took all his powers away. Cryptocurrency.
That's right.
All right, we got to do the news in a couple minutes with, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. He's here finally. He's 3 hours late, but, you know, he's early for his own shift. But anyway, we'll talk to Roger in a minute, WGN. Today started our brand new time slot from 3 to 7, so very excited about that. And then, at 7 o'clock, Karen Conti will be in with her new show from 7 to 9. So there you go. So Roger, we only get to see you for an hour, which I you know, I think it'll be good.
Yes.
As much as I miss you the first 3 hours, we can pack really good stuff into the last hour.
Yeah,
we can talk. No, it'll be good. Yeah, you got it's going to be fun. And I saved this topic for you because it's something that is beginning to weigh on my mind more and more as I get older and I watch my mom get older and other people I know. I saw this. At what age do you consider yourself elderly? Now, this is, it could be a semantic argument.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a real thing. And the reason I brought this up, as I mentioned, I saw this article, and it was somebody who was mentioned, they were a writer, and they used the word elderly for somebody who was 71 years old. They said an elderly woman, and people got very upset and said, 71, mm-hmm. that's not elderly.
Mm-hmm.
That's just old. But, so where do we draw the line? 312-981-7200. At what age do you consider yourself or someone else elderly? And is that a negative term? If I say that someone's elderly, is that insulting to them? Even though they may in fact be. Now you may say to yourself, well, Brian, where did the elderly come from? What's the, where does it mean? We don't know. Really, because, well, we know where elderly came from. It came from elder. It dates back a couple hundred years. It's from the word elder. The Oxford English Dictionary traces the word elder to the 10th century and defines it, quote, in a wider sense, a predecessor, one who lived in former days. We hear elder sometimes in religious circles. Different religions call their leaders elders, that like that. Merriam-Webster cannot really help us define how old is elderly. It just says rather old. So, I mean, I could be considered, by someone, I could be considered rather old.
Sure.
To me, Roger is very old.
Thank you.
No, that's, I'm kidding. No, you're not much old, but you're older than me.
Yeah.
So, if I'm very old to some person, then you would be elderly, but you're not elderly.
No. And I think that the term elderly, just as about 30 years ago, the term senior citizen started to be questioned by people who were older, saying, right, I'm not a senior citizen. That has the wrong connotation.
Well, that's just it. It's when we start attaching negatives to,
exactly,
these words.
Exactly. And that's where I think elderly is coming in. And I think an older American or an older person gives definition to the age,
which is
not
more,
the condition.
Which is more offensive, geezer or elderly? Geezer, of course. You don't want to call anybody geezer. Well, but if you call somebody elderly,
geezer means, in my mind, geezer means they got a little, you know, chip on their shoulder and a little attitude, and it doesn't matter. I know some young geezers.
All right,
you know.
See, I always think geezers are as old and cranky. That's what a geezer, like myself.
Okay, I understand.
That's,
sure,
a self-describing term. But so they're trying to figure it out. And in this age of better health care,
mm-hmm,
physical, people are living longer. We're doing more to keep up. We have a weird need to stay young. We're fixated on the, mm-hmm, youth culture.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to be considered old, let alone elderly. But I look at my mom, and she's 81.
Okay.
I guess if I would just say she's old, but I guess she's,
how is she doing
elderly,
physically and mentally? She's
mentally
fine.
She's fine.
Right.
Physically, okay.
Yeah.
There's issues. But I guess so elderly then in your mind, if I'm following your train of thought, mm-hmm, means that you're deteriorating,
exactly,
both in your physical and mental capacity.
Yes.
All right. So then it could be any age.
Yeah, exactly.
It
for
could
example,
be 65. It could be 85.
For
it could
example,
be 100.
Bridget, for the last 13, 14 years, has had rheumatoid arthritis. For that time, she has not been able to physically do those things that she did before she got the disease. She has continued to say that she feels so old,
right,
because of her condition, though in age, she is not.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, there's a lot of days I wake up and I feel about 106.
Exactly. And so that's what I was talking about, physical or mentally. Do you feel as though you don't have the capabilities you used to have, and what has brought that about? Has it been that you suddenly have hit the wall and now you're just old?
Yes.
Or is it that just
one day, you don't wake up one day and go, hey, everything's groovy, and then the next day,
yeah, exactly,
suddenly I'm Grandpa Simpson. You know, yesterday I was Leonardo DiCaprio, and today I'm Grandpa Simpson. It doesn't really work that way. Maybe in your mind it can work that way.
Right. And again, it's a state of mind. There's some days, like you just said, some days you wake up and you just, it feels like.
But I feel old. I don't feel elderly.
No, you feel like you've gotten older physically.
Yeah, physically.
The body, right. Now, I feel
somebody's
that I'm just as sharp as I was when I was younger, though.
Is that right?
I wasn't that sharp
to
start with.
You're gonna,
no, I'm going to sit on that.
All right, yeah.
Because I'm old.
That.
But you understand where I'm coming from.
I do
it's
understand.
And that's why we can't get into the semantics of senior citizen, elderly. If you want to say you're old on age, well, you know, like 70 or 80 is the new 50. Or something like that. Whatever you want to call it.
I don't know.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Let's see what people think. 312-981-7200. Chuck's in Lake County. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. I go to a Native American powwow up in Lake County, up in Zion.
Okay.
Every summer. And they refer to elders as being free. They allow them in free. And they, to them, elders is a name of respect for years of experience and knowledge.
And when do they, do they have an age where suddenly you're considered an elder, or is it just?
I believe for them it's 55 and older, or 60 and older.
Okay. And that's the.
But instead of saying seniors free, it says elders.
Elders free. And do you mind me asking, Chuck, how old are you?
I'm 76.
Okay, where would you, what label would you put on yourself? Would you just be older? Would you be elderly?
Old guy.
All right, Chuck, thanks very much. Thank you for the call. There you go. I like
that. Well, there's someone who feels comfortable in his situation. He accepts it for what it is.
Yes, good for him.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've had, from the 224, I have physical and mental health issues since I was a kid. I'm 41. I feel 70. When are you elderly? When AARP sends you a card, which is, yes, but they do that when you're 50.
Exactly.
No,
and they've been expanding it.
Yeah, no, 50 is not elderly.
No.
50 is
no.
not even old no. anymore, really.
No.
But then you go, well, is 60 old? No, not to some people.
Right.
See, and they're saying, the national longing for longevity is reaching new levels. Researchers say that 90 is the new 50. I don't know what researchers those are. More and more products created to make older people look and feel younger. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In Rhode Island, public agencies, elderly officials begin at 60, or elderly officially begins at 60.
Mm-hmm.
In Hawaii, you're elderly once you're 55. On a national note, the IRX tax counseling for the elderly program is to anyone over 60.
Mm.
So according to the man,
mm-hmm.
you're elderly, Roger.
Well, I know. And I'm
elderly.
Even more elderly because I now have my Medicare card when you turn 65.
Let's take a quick break. People are texting in. They're calling in. We want to talk to you. When do you consider someone elderly? And is that an offensive term? We'll get to you on the other side. It's WGN. Who is elderly? When do you consider someone elderly? And is that an offensive term nowadays? Mary texted in and said the term that's getting more play nowadays is older Americans. Older Americans.
Right.
But older than what? She says, and I ask too. Older than me? Okay, then everybody older than me is elderly? That doesn't seem right. Let's see. Elderly should be used for age 80 or older, but it's insulting to use it for my active, vibrant 82-year-old mother-in-law. Elderly implies frail. Elderly from Sue. Anybody who's at least 10 years older than me. 312-981-7200. What do you think? Weigh in. Eric is in Tinley Park. Hi, Eric.
Brian, Roger, hello.
Hello.
I'm going to be 55 in August, and the threshold for being considered older or elderly was a lot less than what it is today. Back in the 50s and 60s, I watched an old rerun of an old TV series called M Squad. It was with Lee Marvin. It was about a Chicago police detective, and they were investigating the murder of a man who was found dead in his wheelchair, and they referred to him as an elderly or an old man. And he was the type that he was 50 years old, seated in a wheelchair with gray hair and a blanket around him.
Geez.
The guy looked like he was 80 or 90 years old.
You just described Roger, by the way, Eric.
Yeah, really.
Sitting upstairs.
Blanket and all.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, even if you look at pictures from a while ago, everybody looked old and they were 20. So
right,
you can imagine if you looked that old at 20, by the time you reached 50, you were ancient.
Yeah,
it's like Methuselah.
I know a lot of guys who look and act a lot older than what they are. A lot of them are my friends. But one thing that bothered me, when I turned probably 52 or 53, I saw an episode of Archie Bunker, and it was about Edith's 50th birthday.
Right.
And Archie and Edith were about the same age. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, am I looking like Archie Bunker? Because he just looked a lot older than 50.
But when you were, but when you saw the episode originally, when you were younger and saw the Archie Bunker
they
show,
they all seemed old.
They all seemed very, very old.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, as you've gotten closer to that age, you're like, well, they didn't look that old.
I don't want to think of myself as old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm older than I'm getting older than I was, but I still try to keep a youthful joie de vivre, which Cody points out all the time. He says, I can't believe your joie de vivre. And I said, of course.
Yeah.
But
right. Do you remember Abe Vigoda from Barney Miller?
Of course. Yeah. He was like 112, wasn't he?
Yeah, fish.
He looked 112 in Barney Miller, and he was in his early 50s on that show.
See, life was tougher back then, Eric. That's the problem. Hey, it was, we got it too easy now. And we also have products and gyms and all sorts of rituals to keep us young. And we're, the big push. Everybody wants to stay active as long as they can, which is great. So
right.
that's what makes this line so blurry, and the labels start to get a little tougher to apply.
Well, I'm taking, on a side note, I'm taking care of my 94-year-old mother. She's going to turn 94 this Wednesday.
Oh,
so
wow.
Say hello over the air, she'd really appreciate
it. Yes, happy birthday. Congratulations, 94. That's quite an accomplishment. Now, does your mom at 94 consider herself elderly?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see,
She still remembers when she was 20. She'll say, oh, I still feel like I did when I was 20. But, I mean, she's got Alzheimer's and dementia and...
Okay.
Mostly brain problems rather than cardiac or respiratory problems. She doesn't have any of those problems. Mm-hmm. Just, the brain is wearing out.
And that all adds to, well, happy birthday to your mom. Congratulations on 94. Eric, thank you for the call. Brian is west of Aurora. That's a wide open space, Cody. There's a lot of this country west of Aurora. Can you narrow it down for us at all?
Route 88.
All right, perfect.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Brian, you're kind of making it really tough on everybody. Elderly should be just what it is. It's somebody older than you.
Well, that would mean that
simple.
Really? Because what if you're 40? Does that make somebody who's 42 elderly? Or put it even, if you're 50, is somebody 55 is elderly? Yeah.
Well, put it a different way. If you're 20 and someone's 30, are they elderly? I mean, it's all relative.
Not.
You know?
They haven't lived long enough to be elderly.
They're still, 30, okay. Yeah, they're still midlife. You know, you're, younger than midlife. But there needs to be a line. If this person is older than you, then they're your elders.
Well, they're your elder, but does that make them elderly? Because we all remember being told to respect our elders. That's anybody who's older than you. But just because you're older than me, does that make you elderly? It makes you my elder, but it doesn't necessarily make you elderly.
Yes, it does. Just as the same line of, if it is a female, you say, ma'am, how are you doing tonight? Or if it's a gentleman, you say, sir, how are you doing tonight? I had this, Kathy and Judy, if you say ma'am to Kathy and Judy, they'll get mad at you.
Well, sure, but that's a different thing. But there's also some women and men who don't want to be called ma'am or sir because they're like, I'm not old. That is also associated with being older. And some people don't want that, you know?
And in driving, everybody is ma'am or miss or sir. Going to a truck stop, you're going to hear that.
Oh, sure. Well, if you're in the service industry, everybody's that way. I don't know. I think Brian, we're going to have to disagree on the just because someone is older than you, that makes them elderly. But I do appreciate the call. Drive safe out there. Thanks very much for the call. Let's before we got to go to the news, let's go to Bill. He's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Bill.
Hello. My mom was 94, but she passed away in 2015, and she looked pretty good, but she had all dementia and stuff and Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. Would you consider 94? Do you consider that elderly?
Yeah. I'm 59 and I feel old.
Yeah. See, it is, it's a physical thing, aches and pains kind of deal.
Yes.
But would you consider yourself elderly?
I got rheumatoid arthritis and stuff, and sometimes I'm stiff in the morning, but then during the day, then I feel a lot better then.
Well, see, just keep moving, Bill. That's the secret. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
All right,
let's see. Checking out. What's the difference between elderly and senior citizens? I don't know. Elderly has that connotation to a lot of people that you're frail and you can't do anything by yourself and I've got to feed you. And, you know,
exactly.
Senior citizen just means, you know,
that
you're
an older person.
Older person.
Here's the sentence that comes to mind when I hear the term elderly. Oh, don't worry about Grandpa. He's elderly. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a connotation of how we were presented that word when
yes.
we were growing up, whether on TV or radio or through relatives.
Well, again, if we go back to Merriam-Webster, rather old, being past middle age. So I guess then according to Merriam-Webster, Roger, we are both elderly.
Yeah, but I got a head start on you.
Yeah, but still, we're all people looking dressed different now. My mom's graduation pics make her look at least 40. But that is, going back to my point that everybody looked older back, you know,
in the day,
in the
yeah.
40s
right,
and 50s
sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
Everybody looked older.
More mature. Let's put it that way.
No,
they
when they were 12, they looked 50. It was a harder life. And listen, God yeah. bless you for surviving it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was a tough life. But yeah, all right. I'm not calling anybody anything. I just say, whatever. From Karen, she says, I think it just depends on how you physically feel. And, somebody else from the 708, why is everybody so upset about getting older? From the 847, I equate elderly with nursing homes for some reason. Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with that. Elderly is, like I said, somebody that you have to take care of.
Sure.
If you're old, you can still move around by yourself. Like I said, my mom's old. She still drives. She does everything by herself. She's got her wits about her. But like if we had to go over there and care for her and she couldn't walk or drive, then I would think she was elderly.
See?
You know, that's my perception.
Yeah.
Hello, Brian and Roger. Do I feel elderly? Heck no. My graduation picture was from December. Now I'm thinking of getting my master's. Good for you, Margaret. Congratulations.
Excellent.
Middle-aged is by definition 40 to 60. If he's
middle, okay. Because we're living longer.
Yes.
On average.
Right.
Sure.
So there you go.
So middle age has moved.
Middle age is more. Yeah. Listen, I don't know if that's the truth. I don't want to live to be 100.
Do you consider yourself middle-aged or older than middle-aged?
Older, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm not going to live to be over 100. What are you, insane? I don't want
to. Dad lived to his 100th year.
I know, but he probably wanted to.
Yeah, he was ornery enough.
Yes, yeah. I'm just saying. I don't, you know, I think once I get past 90, there's not going to be much to see. So.
You never know. Dad was still driving at 90. In fact, he drove till he was about 95.
Oh, my.
And then he sold his car.
Yeah, see, I don't know. But we'll see. Yeah, I think I'm past middle age. All right, listen, we got to do this. We don't have time for this. We got to figure out how often you should wash your sheets, because I got a feeling some of us are very, very gross. We'll talk about that on the other side of the news. Cody's been rocking hard with the bump music today, bringing in the first extended show. Bringing the heat. Nice. Somebody was upset that they didn't, not upset, but they said it was, they don't consider you a geezer, Roger, because you're the same age as them. I don't consider you a geezer either.
No.
We're just talking about elderly.
It's just my state of mind.
Sure. Well, that's listen, all. I've seen you wandering around.
Bumping into walls.
Listen, we're all, Cody's the only one. Cody, Cody's getting older. Cody, remember when we first met Cody? He was young, spry. Young man, dating a man about town. Now he's an old married guy, plays his video games, does his podcasts, comes in with his hair gel.
Is that what I do?
That's what you do.
The video games, even now, because he can't hit the buttons faster.
Yeah, they're the old. He plays like Centipede, plays Galaga.
Yeah, with the really big buttons.
Yeah,
yeah.
The old school. He just sits in an arcade. nothing fast. He plays more, he likes Sims. He just creates his own. He can't play the fight.
He builds roller coasters.
Yeah.
These are all lies.
Are they?
That is fake news right there.
I don't like that term.
Listen, I don't know until you've got evidence the other way.
Oh, man.
You know, seriously.
I've got so many games on my phone I could bust out right now and show you.
Yeah.
But I'm producing
a radio
show.
I got a lot of apps on my phone, too. Doesn't mean I use them.
Sure, but they're all about hip replacement and Nutrigen and calcium, bone brittleness.
Yeah, right.
Bone brittleness.
Bone brittleness.
Bo Brittle, this was words? A great Western actor. I loved him. He was in Gunsmoke, wasn't he? Bo Brittleness?
I think so, yeah.
You're doing your bet all wrong. That's the takeaway.
I am.
Yeah, everybody is. Oh. So Cody is the producer, and right. he sent me this today. And I vomited a little in my mouth when I read it. Because we're all doing how often do you change your sheets, Roger?
Every week.
Really?
Yeah.
Once a week?
Once a week.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How about you, Cody the G?
Well, I would say about once a week.
Is that right?
Honestly.
Wow.
Well, who's responsible for changing the sheets?
I will give almost all of the credit to her.
Yeah.
In fact, I would give all the credit to her. But
wow, once a week you guys change your sheets. Good for you. Well, that's you're supposed to do that.
Oh.
You're supposed to change your sheets once a week, according to a microbiologist. Now I don't even want to say how often it is that I wash my sheets.
But you guys are busy. You don't have much time for that kind of stuff.
Sure,
you know?
I don't have time. I mean, I wash my clothes. I should wash the sheets. It's just let's be honest.
What?
Washing sheets is a hassle. Stripping the bed, washing the sheets, folding the fitted sheet, it's all a pain.
No, putting it back on the bed's the hassle.
Right.
Ripping them off is great. Throwing them in is
great.
Ripping
them
off
right
off.
Right, but then you got to take them out of the dryer. You got to fold them up. That's a pain. Then you got to carry them to the bed. Hassle. Try to put them on. Now I got to throw my bedspread on the floor. My pillows on the floor. Hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Somebody is really stressing out about
it. Well, listen, because here's
why.
This is why. I'm doing this not only to shame myself, but as a public service.
Okay.
Because I hope you're not eating. But if you are, you may want to set it aside.
It's after dinner time,
sort of. To prevent your bed from becoming a, quote, botanical garden of bacteria and fungus. Oh, that just, right now I'm picturing my bed and I'm thinking, when did I change the sheets? And I will sometimes I'll go 3 weeks.
What?
A month.
No!
I know.
Oh, my God!
I'm lazy. And the wife doesn't seem to mind. She doesn't, you know.
Oh, that's disgusting.
She could jump in. I know, especially with God only knows what goes on in there. All right, according to this microbiologist, he says you should wash your sheets once a week. Okay. That may seem excessive, which they say, that to me does seem excessive, but not anymore. Once a week, wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with you guys. I was expecting 2 weeks.
Actually, it's a team effort with us. Bridget takes the sheets off.
Okay.
And I do the laundry.
Yes, we know. We read about it on Facebook every week.
So that's how I know it's every week, because I always have sheets to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. It's prime real estate, your bed, for fungi and bacteria that comes straight from your slumbering body in your sweat, spit, and other bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Here's a number that you may not find fun. 26 gallons of sweat that you produce every year.
Oh, every year. Okay.
Every year. Not every night. You'd be a husk. You'd just be a dried-out shell. I produce 26 gallons of sweat every night. Save that clip, Cody. That's going into a new promo. Every year, allegedly, you produce 26 gallons of sweat, which just gets soaked right into your mattress and your sheets, I guess.
Yeah, and your clothes.
Right, and what are you sleeping in, a suit? It creates...
people put pajamas on. You got to watch... How often do you wash your pajamas?
Twice a year, whether they need them or not. And I only say that because you know I sleep commando.
Yeah, I know.
You know. No, I don't. It's creating an ideal fungal cultural medium between your sheets. That's the name. That's the name of this.
Yeah,
name of the
fungal
band.
Culture.
Ideal fungal culture medium, which is a really. I went to a fungal cultural medium, hoping they could connect me with my past and read my. Not at all what I expected. I was like, "Can you help me talk to my dad?" And they just all of a sudden I had a rash. It was weird. Not a good medium. Not a good medium. Beds can also play host to foreign microbes, like animal dander, pollen, soil, lint, dust mite, debris, and feces.
Oh, I thought foreign microbe. I thought someone from, like,
that's
Russia
only
or
Trump's
something.
Bed. Okay. Not so fun fact. Your pillow alone can house as many as 16 species of fungus. I'm going to call my wife before I leave and ask her to set our bedroom on fire. That can be the only way to cure this, right? Fire.
Right.
Fire is the only
Burn
thing that
off.
Can cleanse all this.
No.
How horrific. What? How horrific is this? You're being very quiet now, Cody. You're the one who found this for us.
I just think it's hilarious.
But it's so gross.
You're so gross.
Yeah. We're the ones changing sheets every week. You, not so much.
I'm going to start changing my sheets every day. I got to buy some more sheets. I really do need more sheets, but I don't know what thread count. But anyway, all right. Really? Once a week?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Ish, yeah.
I do laundry once a week-ish now.
7 to 10 days, but I mean, pretty much usually once a week.
Week and a half?
I would say a week, once a week.
All right, if washing your sheets once a week is a shocking suggestion to you, Brian, I am not alone, though, according to this. According to CNN, the majority of participants in a survey strip the bed every 10 to 14 days. Okay. Many participants go 3, even 4 weeks. So I am not alone in my, you know, me, Pigpen, homeless people, we change our sheets every month. That's how it works. Wow. Maybe that's why I couldn't lure in the ladies when I was single. Because my sheets stood up by themselves.
Stiff.
No, they were not. It was always just the hassle of putting them on.
Yeah.
That was it. That's what it is.
My last apartment, my bedroom was so small. There was the radiator, and then the desk was wedged in between the radiator and my bed.
Oh, that's a hassle.
And you couldn't move it, so it was completely against the corner. So for me to change my sheets was like a nightmare.
I don't feel bad. Somebody from the 630, what are sheets?
Mm.
Very good.
Good question.
This is a good point. Can't understand why people shower in the morning instead of at night. Who wants to be in their dirt all night?
I thought this, but you know what? You're
still going to sweat and stuff, and you're going to still flake.
I'm gross in the morning anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're producing some of your 26 gallons of sweat.
Yeah.
All right. Once a week is recommended, of course, when you do your wash. You should also wash them in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
They fade.
Yeah.
They go warm. Warm water is fine.
No, we do. I do hot colors.
fuchsia and what are your hot colors?
It's
turquoise?
It's really hot, babe. No, I do the setting.
Oh, you have a hot color setting?
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Well, it goes colors, permanent press, blah, 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 and then you have water temperature.
Well,
so I put it on hot and then colors, and which is a little longer washing time period. And then I use the hot setting on the dryer.
Oh, sure. You got to use the hot setting on the dryer, and that kills all the germs.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's see.
You know what? I think the article's overlooking also.
What?
Is if the body does this to the sheets, it soaks through.
To the mattress.
To the mattress and the pillow. So now you
mentioned the pillow.
Yeah.
I just got new pillows.
Oh, no.
Because my old ones were really, looked like a homicide scene. A
few years?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you go a lot longer than this, you're going to cause real health symptoms. You can, if you've woken up, you slept good, but you woke up, your throat is all scratchy. That could be because of all the gunk that's growing on your pillow and whatnot. Allergens living in your sheets and pillows. So there you go. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure everybody was all skeeved out because you know what I'm doing tomorrow. Washing my sheets.
Are you?
Yes. Then I'm going to wash them, then I'm going to burn them.
See, I'm here to help.
You want?
And then you're going to go to the store and buy new ones.
Right, which
like
I'm going to wash.
Like a year's supply.
Which I'm going to wash right before I put them on.
There you go.
You got to wash them first.
Right.
You can't just put put new ones on your bed. That would be horrific.
Yeah.
So.
And then you're going to use the blue light over the mattress?
No, the black light.
Black
Dave,
light.
Dave Savini to come
in. Yeah, black light over the mattress and the pillow.
See what's growing on my bed.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. So if you learn anything from this program in the however many years
it's
we've been
doing it's a public service, like you said.
That's right. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Wash your sheets once a week. That's how it goes. Thank you, Cody, for bringing this in. It's scaring the hell out of everybody. It's not nice. All right, listen. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do some extended crosstalk this week because there's a new host coming on. We got a brand new program starting at 7 o'clock. You may recognize her. She looks familiar to me. We will talk to Karen Conti after this because we didn't get to talk about this last Sunday, which had us both very put out. But we will talk to Karen and talk about her new show and this and everything else. So we'll do that when we come back. It's WGN. Karen Conti is in the studio, and it is not even... Oh, that's the wrong mic. Karen Conti's in the studio, not even 8 o'clock on a Sunday. But you will be here at 8 o'clock on a Sunday, but you'll be in the middle of your own program.
That's true.
So congratulations, first off.
Thank you, Brian. You taught me everything that I know.
Is that right?
As I told someone... somebody else, Cody told me everything that I shouldn't be doing on the
show.
So
hopefully you'll pay attention.
Between the two of you, I sort of learned what to do.
Well, you had, I mean, you had a show, you had your own show, Legally Speaking, with Greg before.
Yeah.
And then I realized today, and I looked this up, I knew it was about 6 years, I found the old emails from our old boss. January 22nd was the first time you came on with me.
Wow.
And then, so it's been 6 years tomorrow that we have been doing our portion of the show together. So
that's longer than most marriages that I've dissolved. Yes.
Right. So it doesn't seem that long, does it? I mean, it doesn't seem like 6 years to me.
No, but this is kind of sad, Brian.
It is. No, it definitely is. And I wanted us to be able to talk about this last week, and you did too, but we were under an information embargo.
We were.
We were not allowed to speak. Yeah, very hush-hush. Oh, we're not going to tell everybody until Tuesday, Monday morning. Hey, did you see the news? Yeah. What? But, yeah, it is. I'm happy for you, but it is kind of sad because I think I think over the years we've developed a nice thing together.
Absolutely, and I just liked you bring the every man's approach to it, and you know I put my legal two cents in, and you make fun of me, and it's all good.
Well, that's not true because I've learned a lot. I've been able to give people legal advice where I go, listen, I'm not a lawyer, but after sitting across from a lawyer for 6 years, and a lot of the questions, you know, over 6 years we've heard a lot of the things, and you've had to answer the same kind of question. So I would be an idiot if I didn't absorb some of that knowledge. And I was like, I think what you need here is a trust. I don't think you want to avoid probate, so you want to do this. And they're like, how do you know that? Because I've heard that answer a million times.
So six years on the radio is like 3 years of law school. Is that what you're telling me?
No, but I have a feeling I could probably go up against some law students and know a couple things that they're paying a ton of money for.
Probably.
I could probably just from osmosis, I've learned, you know, bits about the law.
You're probably right.
You know, so it's been, so now it's exciting news because I know you've wanted your own show, which I don't blame you. So now you've got it. So what's, when you get this news, what goes through your mind? What's the plan?
Well, for your listeners, and you know this, Brian, when you are a guest, it is a very different task than being a host.
Mm-hmm.
Host, obviously, you're constantly thinking up different topics
right.
and people to get on, and that's what you do all day long when you're watching television or reading the newspaper or whatever. So you're always doing that. But it's a different skill set, too, because yeah. I'm responding to you. You're leading the way, and I'm responding. That's very different than me leading the way.
Right.
So, again, that's you know a new challenge, which I'm really going to like. And what I think we're going to do is some of the legal stuff, we're talking about topics from a legal perspective so that something you may have heard during the week, I will talk about it a little bit from my side.
Yeah.
What does it really mean from a lawyer's perspective when this happens or that happens? Or maybe explain something that is not quite being explained in the news.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be doing some things that are non-legal related. That, you know, we're like, for instance, in my upcoming show, we're talking about a book called The Heart of the Fight. And it's about how to fight. Fighting is good in a relationship.
Like physical or verbal?
No, verbal.
Okay. I didn't know all of a sudden you're doing a martial arts program. That's exciting, too. Yeah. I'd listen to that.
but yeah, so we're going to do a little demonstration. So, again, that's not legal, but we're going to spin off a little bit and do some non-legal things. And, of course, we're always going to be taking listeners' calls about
Very nice.
Legal issues.
So you'll still be answering legal questions.
Absolutely.
Helping people out, which is the big thing. So it's exciting. And it is a different skill set. But you always plan. What we were going to talk about, you would send me lists of, hey, here's some legal stories, which, by the way, we were talking about something legally before, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Sure.
There's a new app that's going to be, that they're thinking of bringing out, where it would be people giving consent to having sex, like, prior to the date. So say you and Jerry are going on a date, Jerry sends you this message on the app, and it says, hey, you know, you down for some action? And you can either press a heart, which would be yes, or X, and then you can list things that you would be amenable to.
This is so romantic.
I know it is. It's very exciting. But they're saying that it is legally binding. However, they also say that if you withdraw consent verbally after you've signed, that overrides the...
Of course it
does. The app, right?
Of course it
okay,
does. Of course you can change your mind.
No, you said it on the app. You
yeah,
said you were
said
down
it on
for
the
this.
But let's just say you get into some situation and you don't like the way this is going at all.
Right.
You can say no still.
Okay, good.
That,
listen.
That would have to trump the app.
But then,
I don't
but
know
then,
about
yeah,
this.
Then there has to be something on the app that then you could, you know, change it. Because if I have the readout that says, hey, she said, you know, She said she was good to go.
So you're sitting on the couch. Everything's going okay. Right. You change your mind. Excuse me, I have to
get my phone.
Holy,
I got to get my phone. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
Listen, the whole thing
is
romantic.
Where is this world going?
Well, I think you know. As a lawyer, you know better than anybody where this is going. It's going.
It's like those Tide bits. I'm listening to your show. Are people really eating that? Then I'm thinking,
yes.
Tide is going to be sued. Right?
Well,
they're going to be sued for attracting people to eat their detergent.
Well, but can they be? Because they do have disclaimers on there. They've had them on there since, when these pods first came out, there were toddlers eating them, which you go, all right, a toddler, I can understand because they look fun. They changed the lid. They put warnings on the container. Isn't that enough? I mean, if you're an idiot and you eat detergent that says right on there, hey, idiot, don't eat this detergent. I'm not liable anymore, am I?
Let me tell you about a case that was in my law office. A kid was goofing around. They were on a camping trip. They were in a laundry room. He put some blue softening liquid into a cup and said, hey, taste this. It's a blue Hawaiian. The kid drank it and basically ripped his entire esophagus and everything out. Uh-huh. But there was an allegation, and again, I don't know exactly how it turned out, that the company should have made the product with a stronger scent so that someone would have known that it wasn't a blue Hawaiian. So,
but what
listen,
if this
lawyers can argue
have...
whatever they want, but
yeah.
And people will get sued for this. And I don't even think you need to have something that says don't eat detergent. But
well,
here's where we are.
You
guys,
shouldn't.
Right?
And wouldn't that call the herd if people, if we didn't put it on there and people were eating detergent?
Are you talking Darwin?
I'm just saying if I'm not talking about babies. Babies put everything in their mouth because they're babies.
Sure.
Or animals. You know, if your dog eats a Tide Pod that you left on the ground, I expect a dog to eat it. I don't expect my high school senior to eat it. Or my college sophomore to eat it.
On a dare.
Even just because they're stoned. Even if I'm starving. And trust me, I've been hungry before. But I've never gone down to the laundry room and went, hey, this might work. No, never. And I'm not always the clearest thinking. Right, I'm not a picky eater and I'm not the clearest thinking guy all the time. But, so yes, and... If somebody were to try to, that would be the end, wouldn't it? Can we say that?
That would be the end of the world as we know it. But Brian, I want to say this. If you ever have a legal issue and you want me to call in or come in early, I'd be happy to do it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Good. I appreciate that because, we do have stories from time to time, and a lot of times we do them in the show and then we talk to you about them when we were doing it. But this will be nice. So are you going to do legal questions like at the end? Are you going to sprinkle them throughout? How are you?
Well,
what's the plan?
My plan is generally to take the call starting at 8, but I have a couple guests that are coming in talking about medical marijuana and legalizing marijuana. I've got a guy who is a lawyer and a cannabis grower, and he's very up to speed on all the issues and all the issues now with opioids, and does marijuana actually help the opioid situation?
Oh, really?
We also have, at 8:30, we have a very brave, wonderful young lady named Jennifer Hayes, who is one of the 120 women who were sexually abused by the doctor at Michigan State. And she has agreed to come on the air and talk about her situation, about what it was like to testify, be in the room with all of those women who had experienced similar things, and about what her life is like now and where she thinks this should go. So we're very happy that she's on.
In a trial like this where they're doing impact statements, what kind of trials, first of all, have impact statements?
Every criminal case generally will have a victim impact situation. And part of the plea deal with this guy was that he was going to agree, and his attorney would agree, to have all of the women, every single one of the women that wanted
over 100.
To. Yes, it started out 88. Now that we've got a list of 120, it's going to continue this next week. And generally they're written. Occasionally the judge will let some of them do an oral. But in this, if anyone has not seen any part of this, you should watch it.
Yeah, it's rough. It's
really
rough to watch.
It is.
I'm glad it's rough on him.
Yes.
It's rough to watch what these women went through, or rough to hear what they've gone through. But that's amazing. Do judges,
it's not rough on him, though, Brian, and that's something I'm going to talk about a little bit.
Yeah,
now,
I
because
hear that.
He, a pedophile, doesn't believe what he did was wrong. He still, to this day, is sitting there thinking to himself, I did something nice with those girls. I helped them. I was their friend. I befriended them. Yes. And
no matter how much they tell, the repeating
of...
All right.
His tears I don't know what they mean. I'm going to ask my guest what, you know, you were sitting there while he started crying. You know this guy. You remember this man. What do those tears mean?
Right. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And I hope you'll talk, too, about then how the complicity of Michigan State.
Absolutely.
So I hope it goes into that. All right. We're going to do this. We're going to come back, say goodbye, and then let Karen start her own show. It's all happening on WGN. All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the show. Remember, this is the new time, 3 to 7 on Sundays. Karen Conti comes your way with her own show starting right after the news. Good seeing you, Roger. We will talk to you all next week. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by Pearl Mortgage, 7 o'clock. Hey, Roger Badish. Yeah.